All right, so Mike's in Los Angeles. I'm here all by myself. Yes. Yes, it shall be the Adge Guy show, and no one will stop me.
So should I leave?
God damn it. This is Jeff.
It's really awkward.
Fuck the Mike Minotti show. Hello, and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for June 5th, 2012. And yes, everybody, it is E3 week. Woo! Mike is actually at E3, but he is ably replaced with the imitable Jeff Grubb.
I resent that. That sounds like a bad word.
No, that means you're, like, unique and awesome.
Oh, I'll take it. Never mind.
I heard Daffy Duck say that once. Anyway, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Had a busy couple of days, but things have settled down for me since I've been covering E3 from my living room, which really makes it nice. Once the press conference is over, I can just shove everything off to everyone else and sort of sit back and relax and catch up on everything that I might have missed.
Right, because, I mean, reporting on the press conference is kind of weird because, I mean, everybody sees more or less the same thing.
Exactly, yes.
But you do have to have something up there for the people who didn't want to watch it. They just want to read the wrap-ups.
Right,
which is what this is
on those people. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's fun, and I like this format because we'll have a lot of things to say, I think, about each thing. And it's,
I know. You're here for our witty and colorful commentary, aren't you?
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to John Madden this show.
Yes, let's do it. That'll be Al Michaels. All right. So, the way I'm going to do the show this week, I've kind of got what I consider to be the five big press conferences, press briefings. I'm trying to really stop saying conferences because they're not a conference.
Jason Wilson, you see that tweet?
I did see that tweet. That's what made me do it.
I wrote press conference in every article until I saw that tweet, and then they all became press briefings.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, he's right, he's right.
Yes, it's totally
right. So, we have Microsoft. I went chronologically. We're going to go Microsoft, EA, Ubisoft, Sony, and Nintendo. Even though technically Nintendo went first, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Then we'll just do some miscellaneous E3 stuff that we've heard so far that we like. We'll do a brief Watchmen playing because I do have one game I'm very excited to talk about. And that'll wrap up the show. So, let's get right into it with Microsoft, who had their press briefing yesterday at noon Eastern. I watched it on my Xbox. The feed only cut out of me once. I was very impressed because I didn't expect it to work at all. But they started the show off in a very grandiose fashion with Halo 4.
Beautiful.
It was started as a live-action trailer, as they oft do, and then went into opening cinematic and gameplay. A lot of people are comparing, like, they're calling it, like, Halo meets Metroid Prime because it's, like, it's on a very lush, colorful planet. You used a visor at one point.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I thought it looked like Metroid Prime, definitely. Especially the color palette of the enemies and the little, like I said, the flora and the fauna, the little creatures that were running around looked very similar to the first Metroid Prime game. But I'm interested in Halo, again, because of that trailer. Mm-hmm. I thought it looked great.
It's great, too, because I was wondering, like, what kind of story do you tell at this point? It's neat that there's apparently this new threat that to the Covenant and the humans alike. And it looks like it's some kind of artificial world, so you've got that going for you. But I'm actually curious to see what story reason there is for the Covenant shooting you on sight. I thought we were all friends now.
Yeah, I'm not so big on the story, so I'm sure they're gonna come up with something. It seems like it's being made by people who just love Halo, so they'll figure out good reasons because they probably know more about the lore than even Bungie at this point because they're just so enthralled
creating
it.
Yeah. But I'm trying to think. Like, they didn't really show the multiplayer at the press conference. Are they showing it at the show, do you know?
Not that I'm aware of. I think it's possible.
Yeah, I haven't really seen anything yet.
Yeah.
But I do think it looks great. Definitely something I'll be playing. But you'll see this is going to be a theme. This has been kind of where Microsoft's criticism has been for their presser. A lot of sequels. A lot of fours.
Well, a lot of games that kind of feel like they shouldn't exist, like because the... this console has been going on just a little bit too long. So we never would have got a Halo 4 before. Like, we would have got, like,
yeah, someone was saying this on Twitter, but it does feel a little bit like everyone's like, okay, we got, like, a year left of these consoles. Let's just kind of cruise on out of here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the teams that would have got...
These games are popular for a reason, so you got to consider that, I guess.
Yeah, of course.
So, this next one, I don't mind the concept of the game. I just hated how they handled it at the show. So a week ago, we get the reveal of Gears of War Judgment on Game Informer. We see two covers with Cole and Baird, like, on trial. The trailer they showed was a bunch of random shots of Locust that could have been from any Gears of War game, with Baird being brought to trial. He's, like, in cuffs. Nothing said. It's very short. There's actually more information from those two screenshots of Game Informer covers than there were in this trailer.
It was just a CG trailer, right? At this point, I was covering a...
No, I mean, they usually do those in-game, but...
Yeah, well, okay, yeah, but it was like, it wasn't a game.
Yeah, it was a cutscene. It wasn't gameplay. But and that's why I don't understand what's the point of doing a teaser announcement trailer when we already had the teaser announcement made. And like I said, there's actually more information before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Cole wasn't even in this. It just felt like a wasted opportunity to me.
Yeah, it's
I mean, maybe it's not far enough along to be played, but I don't know. Even have Cliffy B come out and say what it is.
Who didn't come out at all. He didn't step his foot on stage. I thought that was weird. But Gears of War Judgment was, to me, immediately forgettable because there just wasn't any information worth holding on to with so much other stuff happening. Like, this is not a game I'm going to be talking about until they actually reveal something real about it. I mean, maybe the hands-on guys will come back.
I mean, could you imagine, like, if the Halo 4 thing was just, like, a trailer of Master Chief? Mm-hmm. Like, the original trailer was. I mean, it's not enough to go on.
No.
We saw this new planet, these new enemies, these new weapons, and that's what got everyone excited. And Gears Judgment may have that. We just don't know.
Right. Just at this point, there's no point to care, in my opinion.
Exactly. But this... And by the way, you may notice, I'm going out of order the show. I just typed this. I was finding everything. I didn't actually
look
at the order because I don't get paid for this. But the next game I have down, which was, I don't remember if I knew they were making this or not, but I still found it impressive, was Splinter Cell Blacklist.
Yeah, I wrote about this when it came up. It was, you remember the scene from the Star Trek movie where Chekhov runs. He's like, I got this when Kirk... And Sulu are falling to the planet, and they're going to die unless, like, Chekhov can scan it, and he's running through the ship. That's what, like, covering
news.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what covering news during the press conference is like. Like, you yell, I got this.
I can do that.
Right, and then you run, you forget about everything else, and you just do that. So I covered this while everything else was happening. I thought it looked really good. I haven't been in the Splinter Cell for a long time. They're bringing back Spies versus Mercs, and it looks like they're bringing a lot of elements from Assassin's Creed and Uncharted. Like, a lot of the animations when he was running around killing people looked very, very much like Uncharted.
And I'm glad to see they kept that mark and execute feature from Conviction, which I really like that. Like, I know a lot of people are like, oh, it's the win button or whatever, but you know what? Like, it just looks so damn cool. And
yeah, now he does it while running. Could he do that in Conviction?
I don't think so. I think it was pretty much a pop and shoot kind of thing.
That was the most impressive part of the trailers when he marked each guy.
And then started running. It looks so cinematic. Because, look, frankly, I'm not playing games as much anymore to be challenged. I'm playing them to be entertained. And that looks entertaining. Like, I would have a lot of fun with that system. Trying to set it up so that I end up doing something that looks cool as a result of the way I set up this attack.
Yeah, I agree. I think it looks good doing it, which is the important part for that type of game.
And because I'm a weirdo for this stuff, and I really like the Kinect voice function in general, I like how you can, like, call in for strikes and things like that just using the Kinect. I love that stuff.
Yeah. You can also yell to distract enemies, which is, I think, kind of neat. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
It's an element that's been in the espionage games since Metal Gear, like knocking on the wall, but it kind of more immersive when you're actually, like, whistling or something.
Right. Also, not Michael Ironsides anymore.
Yeah, new voice actor.
A lot of people are upset. Of course, there's a petition to put him back in. But the reason is they're mo-capping everything. And, I mean, the dude's a little old. He can't really do all this.
Yeah, and they're going to have to pay the one actor, so no point paying two.
Yeah, it'll be fine, everybody. Relax. Next, and this, I'm surprised at how much I like this. Resident Evil 6. Because I famously dislike the Resident Evil series in general. But this looked actually really good. Because it no longer looked like a shooting gallery where you moved yourself but then stopped to play a shooting gallery where the enemies took a million bullets to kill. Like, I liked how you could pop them a couple times in the chest to stagger them and then run up to them and just kill them with your knife. And then, I mean, it's just so cinematic. There like, was so much shit going on, like, cool stuff. Like, even just seeing the helicopter from the view of the cockpit as it was crashing looked really awesome, I thought.
Yeah, you know, the, whatchamacallit, quick time events, those are back. And I'm glad they are returning to actual zombies. That's exciting for me.
Yeah, I agree. Like,
I don't want zombies in any other games. Just Resident Evil, let's keep it to zombies. I just hope the same writers from the 3DS game come back and write this one, because I want a bunch of lines like, this is the tits in this game. Cause that was definitely the best part of the 3DS game.
I didn't even care about the story, because I have no fucking clue what's going on.
Same
but
here.
The action looks good enough that I was impressed.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I'm glad it's zombies. I'm glad they're slower, and I'm glad they're like falling apart and not turning into weird monsters.
Well, it's better pacing, I think, for the kind of game they seem to want to make.
Yeah, agreed.
And not only was there moving and shooting, there was rolling and shooting. So, you know, high tech.
The future.
Yes. Next after that, I have Forza Horizon. Which this is kind of cool. It's basically like, it looks like a blending of, you know, Forza with the physics they have and the cars they have and everything, but put into a street racing. And not just street racing, but even just, you know, I mean, driving around a city with traffic, almost like Burnout. Some people, I think it's just because they were using the Burnout comparison. I don't think they meant to say it is an arcade racer. I think it's still going to be using the Forza physics, if I'm reading this all correctly.
He said that, exactly. He said this is going to have the same Forza physics that everyone loves, except for it's going to be in this different type of game. So it's going to feel the same.
And I think that's cool. I think that's really cool.
There's definitely room for that. I'm sure it's going to have its fans.
Which is weird, too, because didn't they announce like some like Forza bundle coming out this holiday with Forza 4 and that wireless racing controller?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yes, they did.
Sounds familiar.
As I'm thinking about it, yes, they did. But so, I don't know, maybe you'll buy that and then pick up Forza Horizon afterwards. Tomb Raider. A lot of people criticizing the violence in this game, which isn't entirely unfounded.
Yeah, it just probably because it's of who it's happening to, right? Like, they're criticizing the
violence. Right, yeah. I mean, if this was anything else, I would be like, oh, it's so gritty and visceral. But because it's like, oh, wait, that's not Lara Croft. Well, who's Lara Croft?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. I feel like people put some of these characters in too high esteem. Lara Croft, as a character, was created because she had giant tits and they could put it on the front of the cover so you'd buy it. Like, let's not all pretend that this was some great icon of literature or anything.
Like,
oh, they've ruined the character.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think the action looks great. I like the, you know, it has that feeling of you're completely the underdog, the odds are against you, and how are you going to manage that? I mean, you have a bow and arrow, they have guns. Bow and arrow is a big theme of E3 this year, actually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're the bow.
Yes.
Being underpowered is also a trend that we're going to talk about with, like, The Last of Us and having enemies be more dangerous.
Right.
Which I think we'll have to see. I think Tomb Raider looks good. I want to hear what people who are playing it say about it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it's gonna, is it truly just a less funny Uncharted? I mean, that could be good, it could be terrible. I don't know.
It could be interesting. It all just depends.
I mean, that series definitely could use, I mean, they gave it a pretty good shot in the arm when they did Anniversary and Legends. But again, I mean, it's good to keep these things fresh. You can't make
they
the
couldn't
same
do
game
that
too
again.
Much.
Yeah, they couldn't do that again.
No.
I don't think so. So this is the only Tomb Raider game that I could think of them making, like something this different.
Ascend, New Gods. And this was kind of the biggest surprise, I would say, out of their conference.
Who makes this?
This is from the guys who made... It's the guys who made Toy Soldiers.
That's right.
It's an asynchronous multiplayer battle game where you play as, you know, giant monsters and gods and stuff. I mean, asynchronous multiplayer is kind of where it's at right now. You look at things on iOS like Hero Academy and you know, the different board games that are out there for it, and the bringing this concept to a full-blown console game now, I think is cool, because I like that style of multiplayer, because it's something I can manage to do.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of people are on Xbox Live every night, and maybe while they're waiting for something else, or, you know, they're inviting their friends, it'd be cool to play a couple of turns.
Well, I mean, it's like the next evolution of the be a dick mode, as a lot of us call it. Like, exactly. You look at Trials, you look at what Geometry Wars 2 did, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is just kind of the next step in that gameplay system.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense for them to try that.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like Toy Soldiers. That's why I was mentioning it, because it looked like that sort of plasticky graphical style.
Yeah, it's just like, I wonder, I need to know more about it, because, I mean, the trailer wasn't like you know, a walkthrough or a demo. It was just a trailer with some bullet points. So I don't know if it's playable. I'll be looking for some previews of it this week, but I hope it's good. They did, like, a little trio of games here, because the next one was a game called Loco Cycle, which was just a CG teaser. But this is Twisted Pixel's next game, the guys who did Explosion Man and Gunstringer. So it involves what is ostensibly an intelligent Tron light cycle. I'm going to guess it's a Kinect game, but they didn't really say that, but that'd be my guess. But, I mean, I like those guys, so we'll see what this does. Then the next one was a game called Matter, which is actually being made by Gore Verbinski, the director of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to star Wheatley from Portal 2.
Yeah, they look exactly like that.
Yes, I mean, other people called it Marble Madness HD. I mean, there's no telling what it is, but it's a Kinect XBLA game from Gore Verbinski. Then
game of the show.
Yeah, right. This is the one part I considered maybe their embarrassing moment for their presser, which isn't bad, actually.
No, yeah. But they should be like, oh, Microsoft screwed up so bad because these guys came out and were funny and told the truth. But go on, explain it.
Oh, no, you jumped ahead a bit. Actually, I thought that was great. I was going to do Wrecketeer.
Oh, my bad. Yeah.
It's okay. Wrecketeer, it's basically 3D Angry Birds with Kinect. But, like, the girl who was demoing it was, like, talking back to the little characters who were telling her what to do. At first, I thought it was, like, a gameplay mechanic, and I was like, no, she just is doing that. It's weird.
She just thinks she's being cute, and it's just making me feel uncomfortable.
I guess, yeah. But, I mean, you know, the game looks fine, just not terribly exciting. But yes, let's talk about South Park.
Yes.
Because first they showed the trailer, and I'm watching this, and I'm thinking to myself, all right, I mean, this, you know, they're showing the cutscenes with the story, show the gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like halfway through, I was like, wait a minute, this is gameplay.
Yep.
This is all gameplay, and it looks exactly like the show.
Yes, perfectly.
I mean, they nailed it.
It's really hard to believe, like, that's what it looks like. But
I know, I was really stunned. And, I mean, I love the premise. This is why I like the Penny Arcade Adventures so much. Because the character you play as is ostensibly you inserted into that universe. And you now get to interact with all those characters. Like, I'm not playing Cartman. I'm playing me playing with Cartman. And which I think is way more compelling.
Right, and then they get to react to everything you're doing and comment on what's happening, and you get to just be there and kind of observe while participating.
Right. Like I said, Penny Arcade Adventures did this. The new Ghostbusters game did this. I think it's a really smart way of making a game in an existing IP. Because that way you're not stepping on anything, really.
Yeah.
We didn't really get much of the gameplay from it. From what I understand, it's very Super Mario RPG-esque from what I've read of the game.
Which would be great.
But yeah, this should be freaking awesome. And then, yeah, Matt Parker and Trey Stone came out and, like, started making fun of all the smart glass stuff. But, you could tell they didn't have a teleprompter. They were two guys who knew how to engage and entertain an audience. It's like, oh, just let them host the show next year. This is such a freaking breath of fresh air to watch these two on stage.
Right, they were just real. They were themselves and talking about their game and responding in the same way that everyone else who is watching and thinking, like, what are they doing, was responding. So, yeah, that was the best part of the show, of Microsoft's show, yeah.
Then we hit a low point when Usher came out. Because you got to have a celebrity come out and dance around.
Because video games, guys.
Yeah. I mean, what? It's not the most offensive thing. I know we need some mainstream appeal, but
right. And he's a really good dancer. Like he did those moves like really well.
And you can do them too in Dance Central 3.
Those exact moves.
Like that transition. I mean, it's more Dance Central, which, I mean, I'm not going to blame them. It's a hugely popular franchise. It's probably the most compelling thing for Kinect as far as any audience goes, really. So that's fine. Then the Kinect-a-thon was continued in Madden and FIFA, where basically you can use voice commands to call plays and audibles and things like that in the sports games. If this was last year, I might have blamed it on the stage conditions, but having used the Kinect, I know this is probably going to be the case, but there was massive delay.
Mm-hmm.
They had, what's his name?
Joe Montana
up there on stage, like, you know, calling audibles and shit, and then he goes, set hike, and like 3 seconds later, the ball is snapped. I was like, whoa, that's that, a bit much.
And that that comic your brother did is going to come into this, like your friend's going to walk in the room, call the exact wrong play, and laugh and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be good too.
Yeah, you won't be using this during multiplayer, I'm assuming. They showed a Fable the Journey trailer, which was just a sizzle reel trailer. I still have yet to see any evidence that this game is not on rails, despite, like, Molyneux. Remember, like, did you read the story last year? Like, after the press conference last year, Molyneux had, like, press in the room, talk about the game.
And there was a whiteboard, right?
Yeah, someone said, like, so how's this, on, like, not, is this on rails? And he's like, no, it's not on rails. I'm going to make all of you swear that this is not on rails. And, like, he made them sign something that's like, I believe, Peter, that this isn't on rails. But there's, well, that's fucking great. How is it not on rails?
Just
show me
us.
That.
Like, yeah, just.
I mean,
like,
we still
us.
Have yet to see any evidence of that. I mean, I get maybe he considers the part where you're on the wagon and you're like pulling the reins slightly to the left and right is not rails.
I
disagree
really
with you in that assertion, but whatever.
Absolutely.
He
was great on Spike whenever he was talking about.
Yeah, he was actually a fantastic commentator. He might have a future there.
That's what he should.
I thought he was, except. It was funny, he before Sony's conference, he was saying he was positive that they were going to show The Last Guardian, like, put money on it positive. I was sitting there thinking, oh, I'd like to take that bet.
Yeah, for real.
But I'm getting ahead of myself. So, the last game they showed, and this is the end of their conference, was Call of Duty Black Ops 2. I think it's fine to make that an important part of the briefing. But that's not how you end it.
Yeah, if you end with Call of Duty, you had a bad show.
I think. I mean, yes, they made the announcement that, oh, all the DLC is timed exclusive on Xbox, but that's happened since Modern Warfare 2, so that's expected, honestly.
Yeah, we knew that was.
And then the
case.
Gameplay demo was so long.
And not very, like, I love those games, but that, I lost interest halfway through that.
Well,
that
the
demo.
Problem is, these games are linear. They're very linear. So you know you're going to sit down and play this game in November, and you're going to get to that part, and you're going to be like, oh, fuck. I know exactly what's going to happen here.
Well, you could have now you can rappel instead of snipe. Like, there was a point where you get to choose.
Oh, okay.
One
so
or the other.
Everyone's just going to choose rappel,
I guess? Yeah, I guess. Like, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah. I mean, it looks good, but again, I feel like Call of Duty, if there's one criticism I'll make of the single player, it's just that game is always jacked up to 11.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and that game's not selling 14 million copies because of its single-player campaign. Like, that's just not... It's the whole representation of Microsoft is just not understanding any of its success. But, yeah, that's like a theme that represents all of the people who presented at at E3, at these pre-E3 press conferences, briefings.
Right.
They just don't understand
success. I mean, the thing I don't understand is, like, I mean, Steve Jobs left us all with a pretty good lesson of the one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was the master of that. And it's not like it's hard to do. You come up with a good surprise and you leave it for the end. I mean, the only company that really got that right this year was Ubisoft.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, everyone else ended with, like, nothing.
That's, like, the easiest lesson to learn, too. Like, he did a lot of things, like, other things that were much more subtle. That is blatant. Like, just do that every year, no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah,
so it's like a movie. You want to make sure the last line is the best line, so that when people are walking out to tell their friends, they like, oh man, I have this really special feeling.
Yeah, that's what's on their
mind. Yeah, this really special feeling about this movie because this last line and what it meant to me and everything. Like, you gotta do that so that people go out and buzz, instead of have that disappointment which we had with most of these events.
Mm-hmm. So let's see. I mean, that was all the games. We'll quickly do the media stuff they did. And you know what? I'm a little sick of everyone like, Microsoft should waste their time, blah, blah.
Well, they're not wasting their time or their money. They're going to make a ton of money on we're getting left behind. Like, this is a theme as well. People are looking at the dashboard and can't find the video games. And it's because it's an easy way to make money. Now that this thing's in everyone's house, like, if they just focus on delivering content, that's a much easier way to generate revenue than a $20 million video game.
And it's funny, too, because I feel like these are the same people who, like, 7 years ago were trying to modify their original Xboxes so they could run Media Center on it. But, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
Maybe it's just because it was all free back then. But, look, we can confirm, I believe, last week's show, a good point was brought up. Part of why Microsoft spends this much time on this, they don't have a second system. They don't have a Vita or a 3DS that they need to give 20, 30 minutes to. So they do this. I mean, what are you going to do? They're still making Halo, everybody. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Like, we freak out, I think, a little bit too easy. Like, there's a lot of really great stuff. And we all just want the big surprise at the end, and then we get disappointed, even though they showed a lot of good games.
Mm-hmm. But real quick, what they showed, they're expanding the ESPN stuff on the Xbox. Now, instead of ESPN 3, it's the Watch ESPN experience, which gives you ESPN 1, 2, and 3, and University, I believe? Yeah. So if your cable provider supports that, you get that. They basically just rebranded the music service so it's not Zune anymore. I mean, they tried to make it seem like it was more than that, but that's really all it is.
Mm-hmm.
And smart glass is their big thing. This is kind like this leaked before the show. A lot of people thought it was going to be basically like their answer to AirPlay, and it kind of is, but not really. First of all, really smart on their part. It's platform agnostic: Windows Software Phone, based. iOS, Android. It'll work on everything because they could have like just said like, "Oh, this is only on Windows Phone," and no one would use it. So that was good on their part. So not only if you're watching something using, I don't know if this means you have to get like a Microsoft Online Store app on your iPhone and buy your movies there to play them on the Xbox or not, but that is a component of it. Like, you know, playing something on your mobile device or zooming it on your Xbox. But then it also goes the other way. The example they showed was watching Game of Thrones and having like an interactive map of where each scene was taking place in the world. So, you know, auxiliary viewing experiences, which all the networks have tried to do with, like, you know, websites and laptops and things like that, and it never really worked because who's going to have your laptop with you when you're watching TV? But you'll have your phone. You'll have your iPad.
Yeah,
so
that's another theme is that people want to be – they want to win the couch. Like, the TV is already in the living room. There's going to be a secondary device that everyone's using. What's it going to be? Nintendo wants it to be their, you know, their Wii controller, Wii U controller, and now Microsoft wants it to be their app on whatever device you already have there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Evan, if he were here, he would say that this is, he was telling me about this, that this is like Back to the Future 2 with the 9 screens that never made sense. Because if you're watching TV with your iPad, you're not really watching TV. You're playing with your iPad.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It'll work, but I think that they're trying to do these really weird applications like the interactive map, where I'm just going to pause the show and I'll look it up anyhow. Like, if it has all that mm-hmm. information right there, that'd be good, but I don't think that's going to be the compelling thing that's going to bring me to Microsoft's solution to winning the couch.
Now, where I think it's actually really cool would be sporting events. Like, you know, that's you're true. Watching baseball and you could get a batter's full statistics on your phone when he comes up to bat. Stuff like that. I think that's cool.
Yeah, but I don't think Microsoft's going to be the one doing that best. Like, there will be other apps that will have those live updates, and it will probably be MLB's official app, which will have better information. I'm doubting that Nintendo or Microsoft are going to be the ones that do this best.
So you're waiting for the Apple TV.
Well, I don't think Apple's going to do it best. I think that the developers on Apple's software is going to do it best.
Fair enough. All right, so as we wrap up Microsoft, is there anything that particularly excited you or disappointed you?
It just felt samey. It just felt like I'm disappointed that there wasn't that surprise. that there wasn't something that we didn't.
It was a very safe show. It was very safe.
Yeah, and I mean, going into this holiday, I'm sure there will be some. Well, especially over the summer, like they didn't talk about their summer of arcade lineup, which is pretty good. I can't remember it offhand. Like Dust and Elysian Tail is the big one for me.
Tony Hawk,
yeah. That stuff's going to be great. So they're going to have games that I'm going to want to play. They just didn't really talk about anything exciting to me. Like, these games that they talked about are going to sell. That's why they talked about them. But they don't appeal to me, who plays a lot of games.
Do you feel like there was a bit of a lack of emphasis on the Kinect compared to last year especially?
Well, definitely. I mean, I'm surprised they focused on it this much, but again, it sells a lot, so they think they have to talk about it.
Oh, you know what I realized too? I forgot to put in here was that Nike plush trainer.
Oh, yeah. I think that'll be a big deal.
Mm-hmm. I think it'll look good.
Yeah.
Especially when if you compare the experience of using that to the experience of Wii Fit U, where you need like 8 different things out in your living room.
Yep.
Definitely. Yeah. All right. So let's go to EA. I'm going to go through this one fairly quickly because it wasn't anything too mind-blowing. Basically, they announced that Madden is getting an actual like physics-based animation system, which I think is actually about time and a much-needed thing. They showed Battlefield Premium, which is basically COD Elite, but for Battlefield. This was the interesting one. They got the UFC license in a cash exchange in an undisclosed amount from THQ, which also resulted in layoffs of THQ San Diego.
Yes, which makes WWE Games, the UFC developer, took over that production of those games.
Did they make like WWE 12? I thought they just made the one that came out the WWE All Stars.
I think so.
Because Ux makes the proper ones, right?
Yes, Ux is the one. Ux made the UFC games, and then I think that I'm getting this confused. I think WWE like all the years like the 12 and back were all made by San Diego. 13 was made by Ux.
Okay.
And All Stars was made by San Diego as well.
Okay.
And so since Ux was getting better reviews with their UFC games, I think THQ was like, we're going to put you guys in charge of the WWE games like wholesale. You're going to make all of them, and we're going to close down San Diego.
Okay. So, I mean, EA had their MMA game, and generally it was considered far inferior to UFC from THQ.
Right. Which so, is just scary. Although THQ did say that they were thinking about, or they were going to try to get the people from the San Diego studio employed at EA.
EA.
Which
is again, good it's for them, I guess.
Yeah, again, it's the WWE developer. So I'm not sure.
Now, didn't the UFC guy, I forget his name, but didn't he like fucking hate EA just a couple years ago?
They were completely like, in a bitter
really
fight.
Hated them.
He threatened to blacklist any fighter that would sign with EA. He said that EA wouldn't even give UFC an appointment to talk about creating a game there because they were disgusted by it. They didn't think it was a real sport. These are all exact quotes from Dana White. Well, I'm paraphrasing, but those are things that he said.
Yeah.
And this is just in 2009. But
well, you know what he likes more?
Money.
That's I was going to say ice cream, but I think he likes money too.
Well, he looks like he likes ice cream and money. Yeah. He scared me too when he came out. He came out and was pretty aggressive, but I mean, he likes UFC, so I'm not surprised.
Okay, so a lot of people are already starting to like get ready to ring the death bell, but they came out and announced that Star Wars The Old Republic would be going free-to-play up to level 15, similar to what WoW does, and there's some new free expansion-ish stuff coming out this summer, and they kind of more or less beg people to stop unsubscribing.
He's like, it's awesome right now, guys. Like, it really did sound pretty bad. And everyone's saying it's like free to play up to level 15 this year, free to play up to everything next year. So,
you and I realize they probably should have done with this game, and it actually might have worked pretty well.
What's that?
Well, especially now that I'm playing Diablo 3, I've realized something about how I play MMOs. I play them the same way I play Diablo 3, which is not an MMO. Generally, I play it by myself. I use other people for the action house, and on occasion, I'll want to run a specific piece of content with my actual friends, not pickup groups. Diablo does all of that, but that's how I've played SWTOR, and World of Warcraft. Could you imagine if instead of trying to do a $50 box, $15 a month, I mean, they go on and on. There are 8 distinct stories in this game. What if just each of them was $15?
That might have worked.
I think it would have worked beautifully.
Yeah. I don't know. It probably would have worked. I just don't see, like, if they would have made that much more money doing that. I mean, I the amount of money they spent creating
even if you spent $50 to buy the game, and then maybe each additional character was $10. Like, maybe you could play it for free up to, like, a certain level to make sure you liked it. And that's the character whose, you know, story you wanted to experience as a self-contained narrative. And after that, like, oh, you want another story in this world. Okay, it's $10. Something. I just feel like this game was very much never going to succeed with a $15 subscription fee.
I agree with that.
In 2012.
Yeah. Your idea sounds good. I'm not smart enough to know if it would work or not.
I don't either. I'm just talking out of my ass. Okay, so now Criterion came out. Need for Speed Most Wanted. This is basically our spiritual successor to Burnout Paradise. More so than it is a Need for Speed game. I mean, you have cops and robbers, I guess, more or less. But open world, licensed cars. I'm excited.
Yeah. Did they show a gameplay trailer? Because when I went to go look for one before the show started, I was looking for trailers. I couldn't find one.
I know. I didn't actually watch EA's press conference. I wasn't feeling well yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But I did see someone from Criterion came on to Spike and showed off some gameplay and stuff. And
people
so
that
I
have
saw
played
that.
It have said it's great, so, and it's Criterion, so
yeah,
I'm sure
they know what they're doing. Let's see, apparently Dead Space 3 is set on an ice planet, so it looks like Lost Planet 3.
It definitely looks like Lost Planet.
I'm sure it'll be fine. I mean, those are always very solid games, so.
Right. I mean, the deep fans of the horror aspect of those games are going to be angry, probably, but.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. Maybe this is just what they showed to sizzle people up because they wanted to excite people instead of show a slow burn scene that was a little scary. Just hard to do to a room full of hundreds of people.
Yeah. They showed the new SimCity. They've basically, I don't know, they didn't really comfort me in saying this. They're like, oh no, I mean, because, you know, this needs an always online connection, just like Diablo 3. Like, oh, you know, we've watched what Blizzard's done and we're not going to make the same mistakes. We're an online company.
Like hell.
So are they. They're the biggest.
Yeah, hell you're not going to make the same mistakes.
Well, you know why their server's not going to crash? Because 6.5 million people aren't going to buy this game in a week. You'll be fine.
Let's see.
They showed Crisis
3. Whatever.
I'm sorry. You're still fine.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, there will be. The minute you get disconnected from that game when you're in the middle of doing something and it kicks you out, it's going to be a shit show.
Yeah, Crisis 3.
Yeah, Crisis 3, you have a bow and arrow in that game. Shot down a helicopter with it.
You're the bow.
It's very... Yes. And they show the new Medal of Honor Warfighter. A lot of shooters from EA.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 were talked about. No, yeah. 4, excuse me. Madden's not a shooter. I counted wrong.
Although, okay. Medal of Honor, the... Last time DICE did the multiplayer, it looks like the single-player team is also making the multiplayer for this Medal of Honor, which I think is more interesting because I like the single-player better than the multiplayer in the last one. But,
right. I got a lot of people felt that way. I hope, like, I haven't been following this game that closely, but I know from the last Medal of Honor, like, they made such a big deal about it being Tier 1, but weren't you only, like, Tier 1 for 3 missions or something?
I think that you were like the main tier one guy for 3 missions. And then he gets wounded, and you need to go save him as another character, who I think is like, I don't remember this for sure. I think he's like auditioning like to be tier one at this point when that happens. Yeah,
for your audition day, sir, we need you to shoot that target, hold your breath for 10 minutes, and do this monologue from Hamlet.
Exactly.
Anything from EA that you want to talk about besides that stuff?
No, just, again, another disappointing one.
Yeah. It was all stuff we knew.
Yep.
The biggest surprise was UFC, and I guess Need for Speed.
Right. They'll make good games, but the Need for Speed trailer that I saw was not gameplay, so couldn't be too excited. And then just a bunch of shooters that look exactly the same, and Dead Space looking like Lost Planet. So, yeah, disappointing overall.
All right, so let's go to what some people call the winner of E3 already, Ubisoft. The one thing they showed was Zombie U, which is a Wii U shooter. Now, at their press conference, it was just CG. But at Nintendo's, they said it was gameplay, but I don't believe them.
I've only seen snippets of it.
From the way the camera moved, like the movement camera, it looked like the way it looks when shooters look fake in a movie. I don't know. I could be wrong, but it did not look like gameplay to me. It may have used in-game assets, but I don't know.
It ends basically, with Wii U, though.
Yes, so. As a lot of these games for Wii U did, and we'll get to that. But it's a zombie shooter in England. I'm a little tired of these. You're going to use the controller like, I don't know, they called it hacking, but then in the thing at Nintendo's conference, it was just the guy kept trying different codes in the door. That's not hacking, that's guessing. he sniped by, you know, using the gyroscope and the screen on the Wii U gamepad to do the sniping, which, you know, that's fine.
We all know hacking is when you try to make pipes fit together to make liquid go through.
Exactly. I learned that from BioShock.
And like three other games.
But yeah, I mean, it could be good. I'm just a little burnt out on zombie shooters is all.
Yep, agreed.
They talked about their Avengers game with a CG trailer. They've announced this game for Wii U and Kinect, and they have not explained at all how this plays. I mean, it's pretty clear that, like, they were supposed to have an Avengers game for the movie, and that got canceled. We all saw that footage, I think, where it was like a first-person Left 4 Dead kind of thing. And it's like, Avengers is now the biggest movie ever, and they're like, oh, fuck, we need a game. look at this logo! And it's like, in the last 3 weeks, like, come on, hurry up, make this CG movie faster. Like, I wouldn't even be surprised if, like, there's literally nothing of this game in existence, just, like, the ideas.
Right. There's a team throwing around concepts, and that's all they have.
Yes. But don't worry, everybody, because this is Ubisoft, and they make Assassin's Creed.
Fear of the Bow.
Oh, my God. This game looks so good. So, the part they showed at the Ubisoft conference was Connor first going through the woods and, like, hunting a deer.
Looked as great.
For, like, a side quest. You know, you get to see the free running on the trees. Looks amazing. You can see how the snow affects character movement, which I think is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Then he infiltrated a fort. Just like the way you move through this environment now, it's so much faster. Because, you know, like in previous Assassin's Creed games, when you start fighting, it very much like drastically changed pace. You know, the game kind of stopped while you would fight. This seems a lot more fluid. You're very much always kind of moving forward while you're fighting. Like, he, like, ran past a rack of rifles, reached out and grabbed one, and that became his weapon for the assassination, which I thought was really rad looking.
Definitely like, the best part, yeah.
It just looks really freaking good. Even the conversation they showed between Connor and the character who gave his mission, I thought it looked really good.
Yeah,
they're definitely on to something here.
Yeah, it looks like... It's without a doubt going to be one of the best games this fall, just based on their track record and how much they're changing, how much new they're putting into it, and the risks they're taking with the character. I couldn't be more excited. And then George Washington appears, and I got an American boner.
So. There you go. America.
America.
Let's see. I kind of missed this. I think my feed cut out or something, but they started talking about some free-to-play something or other. And they showed, like, Trials and I Am Alive and Beyond Good and Evil HD. I don't know what this was for. Did you catch this?
I saw the montage, but I didn't hear anything about free-to-play. I was probably writing during this. I just saw them show that stuff, and I'm like, oh, I love Trials. And then that's all I could think of. I was writing, so. Yeah, I don't know if there's anything free-to-play with that, but I thought they were... It sounded like they were just like, look at these great games we made that everyone likes.
No, it was something about the, like some kind of free-to-play platform. I'm assuming PC-based. But I don't know.
That'd be interesting.
All right. We'll see what happens. So next was Rayman Legends on the Wii U. Now,
this is when the show started really getting good for me, when they showed this. Like, I was feeling pretty happy when this happened.
This didn't start getting good for me until halfway through the demo. Because when it started, I was like, okay, Rayman Origins was great. This looks like more of that. Okay, so you're controlling this character by just... tapping on the touchscreen.
That's true.
And he flies around. At first, I'm like, oh, this is dumb.
Well, there was nothing new in there that you couldn't have done and didn't happen with the Wii controller. Like, there was the character that you would play as with the Wiimote in Super Mario Galaxy. You were pointing around
on
the screen.
Yeah, that's exactly what I saw this as. Like, grabbing the
lungs.
Nothing
you couldn't have done on the Wii. Like, this is nothing new. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. It's BS. It's not
going to As they started long. Going through the level and the level became more intricate, it started getting a little more interesting because the guy was moving around the screen so fast that at that point you couldn't do it with the Wii Remote.
Yeah, it looked like he was
lifting platforms.
Yeah, and it looked like he was kind of playing like a rhythm game that was keeping stuff happening.
That part came in the third part of the demo where they were running. It was basically a lot of running. But yeah, like it was very like every action was tied into the music. And that part was like it was even partway through I was like, oh my god, like this is all music based. This is amazing.
Yeah,
I want to play this now.
Still running. Yeah, the other characters are still playing the game, like they're participating in what he's kind of making happen. And the music was great, and it was just, it was exhilarating.
Yes. I mean, just to watch it was, exhilarating is the word. I can't imagine what playing it's like.
Yeah, like, so, yeah. The guy that made it, like, after it happened, he was, like, kind of freaking out. He was, like, cheering, like, at just to how well it went, and, like, you could tell he was pretty excited. Like,
yeah, like, I don't think that was even, like forced enthusiasm.
No,
I think
it
even
wasn't.
He was, like, happy with that.
Yeah, like, he was just really pumped at how well it went and, you know, how good mm-hmm. his game looks, because that looked really good.
Yeah. Then they kind of stumbled a bit
yep.
when they showed Shoot Mania. Now, this is from the guys who made the phenomenal Track Mania series.
Great
this is what you don't do at a press briefing. Because, like, first of all, I guess we should talk about Toboskis and what's her name?
Oh, yeah. Aisha Taylor.
What is her name? Yes.
She gets Girlwood.
Yeah, and Toboskis was being super obnoxious. And I like Toboskis' YouTube videos, but he's like one of those guys who like his YouTube videos are a lot of quick cuts, like in mid sentence, so mm-hmm. it seems like he's talking faster than he is. And I think he was trying to like do that in real time, and it didn't work.
Yeah,
it just felt like it came off like he didn't know what he was doing. Like he was supposed to keep interrupting her, but it sounded like he was really interrupting her, like in incorrectly. I don't know. It was dumb.
It was hard to watch. Poor Toby.
But then, so they do this Shoot Mania thing, and they're like going on, oh, this is the future of esports, and this is the next big thing in esports.
But I don't, what you, happened? You, I don't want to even understand what was happening.
You can't, I think we've learned this, you can't say you're an esport. Your game has to become popular enough that people turn it into an esport.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
You can't be an esport off the bat.
You're high
and
lie.
They like,
you're friggin' high lie at this point. Like, you can't
yeah.
just. Like invent
and they,
a sport and like try to make people play it. Like yeah,
they start bringing out their two teams. It was girls versus boys.
Girls versus
they're like,
boys.
And they're introducing them by name and background, and it's taking forever.
And the names were not real names; they were like code names, like your handle, because we're all hackers or something.
Yeah,
and cool.
And I'm like, okay, like at first I was like, I want to see this game. Show me the game. Oh my god. I'm leaving. I left the room. My dinner was ready. I was like, the hell with this. Because I thought this was going to be the end of the conference, too.
Oh, yeah.
And it get. I mean, this went. And, like, the game itself looks fine. It looks a little simple.
Yeah, but it looks like a prettier Counter-Strike kind of thing, which is what they were going for. That's fine.
Yeah.
But it was really poorly. It was poorly presented. The video that they showed of the two teams fighting one another was recorded days earlier. So they weren't even really playing.
Oh, great.
So the whole thing just didn't make sense.
They're trying to do like awkward commentary to it, and
like we just it misses the point. Like, just give us informative presentations that explain things in a concise way, so we can understand it, so we can go and tell other people about it. Not, I mean, it is a press briefing. It's not a hype show for your fans. I mean, if you want to like make a hype show for your fans, that's fine. If you want to make this a hype show for your fans, that's fine. But even they want to be informed. No one's going to be impressed by this. Just don't do this stupid shit.
Yeah.
Do what
yeah,
you did for the
awful.
Last thing. Like, do... Just show awesome gameplay.
Mm-hmm. So, I thought it was ending there, and I was like, ugh.
Thank God it didn't, because this is...
No,
this
it
is,
didn't.
This is amazing.
So, in arguably the biggest and maybe only surprise of E3 so far... They showed a game called Watch Dogs. Now, it started with this weird teaser trailer that was, like, about nothing, about our digital shadows. I was like, what the hell is this? And they were really starting to lose me again. Then the game starts.
Well, it,
so what
like,
this game is
like transitioned perfectly from that trailer into the game, mm-hmm. and, without losing a beat, which was really interesting.
So it's an open world game set in modern day Chicago in a sort of alternate reality where things are a little more digitally connected than they are now.
As far as you know, man.
Yeah, maybe it is like this. I don't know. A guy can hack everything with his iPhone.
Heck, the world.
That's what it looked like he had. It looked like he had an iPhone.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, open world Chicago looked stunning. Like, a lot of people were saying, like, this had to be a next-gen game because
like
it looked too good. And the supposition is that it was running on a high-end PC. They have confirmed it for PS3 and 360. I think this is going to be something you're going to see a lot now, where it's like what Battlefield 3 was.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have these games that look fine on the consoles, but the PC versions are going to look like something else entirely.
This looks like something else entirely. And it wasn't just mm-hmm. the Chicago, like the representation of Chicago. It was all the little effects. There was wind blowing.
I mean,
detritus across the ground.
What dropped my jaw, the most impressive thing technically I saw, is when he walked across the street, across an alley, wind was blowing down that street,
yes.
and it blew his jacket.
Yes, exactly.
But then once he got to the side of the street and he was next to a building again, the jacket went back down.
It was gorgeous.
I was like, oh my God.
And that was like right when it was getting started. And I was like, whoa. I told him, we were in the mm-hmm. the work chat. And I just like, whoa, because that was impressive. Also, I really like the gameplay conceit is you're hacking people's like information as you walk past them, which encourages you to just walk and like instead of run around like an idiot like you do in all other open world games.
Yeah.
Which I hate.
Yeah.
Like, it looks so stupid. Like, I'm sprinting everywhere like no one has ever done ever. Even fast people mm-hmm. don't do that. They still walk because they want to chill. This gives you a gameplay reason to walk around and look cool and have your jacket blow in the wind and look like a badass while also learning stuff about the world. It was very well done. Like, the whole thing.
So what happened in the demo is he hacked his way into a party by disrupting the bouncer's communication.
So he
gets inside, he finds his target by hacking the cell phone, hearing the conversation she has, and you find out the guy he's after is on his way, like driving to this event. So he sneaks out the back door, he beats the crap out of this guard with a baton that he seems to favor, gets outside, and this was cool. And I wonder if there were like multiple ways of handling this, but he hacks the traffic lights. So as the target car is approaching, all the lights turn green, and it causes a massive pileup in the intersection. And then the shootout that followed was really interesting for one particular purpose I saw. At one point during the shootout, an innocent bystander, a woman driving one of the cars, gets shot. And you're using that car for cover. And, like, her husband or whatever is in, like, the seat next to her, like, trying to wake her up. Mm-hmm. He, like, opens the door, pulls that guy out, tells him to get down.
Like, you rescue that guy. It's collateral damage, and I felt terrible. I'm like, I don't know if I can, like, to kill this one guy that was his target, he had to he had to make those lights go, and it caused a huge crash, and someone innocent died, and I actually felt bad. Like, that doesn't happen in open world
games. Yeah, just watching it.
Yeah, just watching it.
Very impressive.
Like, you killed that lady for what? Like, now, I really want to know what the reason is now that you're killing this guy. Like, there's a bunch of games where it's like, oh, there's this reason that all this stuff is happening, and you don't know it yet. And I'm like, I don't really care. Like, you've given me no reason to care. This game's given me a lot of reasons. I want to know why. Like, it's mm-hmm. impressive.
But then
when he was hacking people's phones, did you, like, see what, like, was written there? Like, you could see, like, a little information about everyone you were hacking.
Oh, yeah, like, this guy has AIDS, person has massive debt.
Yeah, cable subscriber, low credit rating, charged with plagiarism, HIV positive. I don't know, it just looks intense. Like, I don't want to get too excited because maybe, like, it sucks and this is all just bullshit.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's possible we saw a really good vertical slice and, you know, that is possible, but...
But it looks good.
I'm getting excited,
too, because it's very different.
Now, the interesting reveal at the end of this, as if, you know, it wasn't already interesting, it said, like, I don't know, intruder or new target detector or something. I don't know, something. Zooms out, and it goes to another character. And, like, this guy's name, what was the character's name? Like, Aiden or something like that?
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Peterson, maybe. I don't know. Whoever the guy was, like, he's getting away from the police who are now on to him. Like, a helicopter shows up. But it goes to this other guy who has what's very clearly, like, a gamer tag over his head. Like, you know, like, it wasn't a character name. It was, like, someone's username.
Like hacking into
and then,
his
like,
phone
so
or
what?
Something, yeah.
Yeah, what it seemed to imply was while you're playing the single player portion of this game, there's also a co-op side thing that integrates with other people's single-player experience, where these people playing online co-op, it became their job to allow this main character to escape. So, I mean, in a co-op game, you might have, like, an AI who needs to escape, and you need to, like, get this AI out, but now the AI is a player. And conversely, when you're playing a single-player game, you may have, like, AI guys you don't see who are, like, pulling strings so you can escape, but now those people are actual people.
And it's not just one other. It zoomed out, and there was,
it was like four people.
Yeah, it was more than that. There was, like, eight or nine. Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I didn't even notice that. So, I mean, I feel like it's going to have to end up working a little bit the way like Journey worked, where it kind of dynamically slots people in and out. But, man, could that be massively cool if they pull that off.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, because it would also add a whole new layer of dynamics to this, to all the gameplay and what you're doing if real people are controlling it. I'm wondering if it's going to be similar to maybe like that the boss in Demon's Souls, where players can jump in at a certain time. But I don't know. I hope it works because it looks amazing.
Okay, so that's that. Anything else from Ubisoft for you?
No, but I do think they were the best conference.
Mm-hmm. Briefing.
Briefing. Best presentation is another one I started using.
There you go. Sony. Sony actually had a pretty good show, I thought.
I agree.
With one misstep. I do not think there was enough Vita at this thing at all.
Now, this happens with the handhelds. There's been years where, I think it was 2 years ago, and like Nintendo was showing a bunch of stuff, and everyone was like, where's the DS games? And then, like the next day or the next 2 days, we discovered a ton of really awesome DS games. Sony could do that, but they did. I think it's too early for them to ignore it in such a big setting.
I think they needed to put it more forward. I mean, the system is struggling right now.
Yeah, did you see the picture? It was like Vita 2012 to 2012. Like, and it was on a gravestone. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that bad yet, but.
No, but, like, yeah. They needed to step forward and be like, this is why this system isn't dead. This is why you should be excited for it.
Well, let's go through everything here, and we might talk about this more as we go and at the end. The first thing they show was Beyond Two Souls, which is the new Quantic Dreams game. I mean, we knew they were making something, and this is it. It stars Ellen Page, which is good, because my biggest complaint of Heavy Rain was that the acting was terrible. So I'm glad they're, like, actually considering that now.
Yeah.
The gameplay bit they showed was, I mean, it was very slow-paced, like, conversation. Really looked a cutscene. I don't think that was actually, like, you're playing anything. But then there was, like, kind of like a trailer at the end that showed a lot of action. Like, a lot of action. So I'm curious to see how this game actually plays. Like, yeah. Is it going to be, like kind of like the adventure game pace of Heavy Rain, or is it going to be more like an Uncharted kind of thing? I don't know. But it looks good. I mean, graphically, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it looks pretty. The face animations are the best yet. Better than L.A. Noire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then they showed PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale. They announced that the game is cross-platform compatible between the PS3 and the Vita. Mike actually played this today. He and I talked about it a bit. He was very high on it.
Yeah, he's posted an article. Anyone wants to read it. So.
Yeah. We kind of knew a lot about what it was. We revealed Nathan Drake and the Big Daddy as characters. What I'm curious to see now is there going to be something where I can get this game on the PS3 and either for free or at a discount get the Vita version as well?
That would make sense, and I think they should do that because there's no reason this game shouldn't be good. Like, it should be a good game. Like, you have the Super Smash Brothers to look to, just make that. And then people love that kind of game, especially kind of people who, you know, love all your characters and would be willing to buy a Vita and a PS3. So if you can encourage them in any way to pick up that hardware through this game, I think they should do that.
Mm-hmm. And I'm a sucker for crossovers, so I'm very excited.
Yeah. Looks good. I think it looks good.
Yeah. This next thing, this is the biggest mystery to me to the whole show. They announced Call of Duty Black Ops Declassified for the Vita. Coming this holiday, they show the logo, and they're like, okay, moving on.
Yeah, like, how do you not show that? Like, if it's coming
you don't
this
have
holiday,
anything to show. There's not a trailer, some gameplay,
It's gonna
anything.
It's going to be shitty. It's not going to be good. If it's going to, like, it'll be passable, but it's not going to be the full blown Call of Duty that people think the Vita deserves. And it's possible that the people. Like,
well, I'm glad they didn't do what everyone thinks they should do, which is make just Black Ops 2 and the Vita and have, like, the multiplayer be cross-platform there.
Yeah.
You're missing four buttons.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. Now, again, this was a suggestion we can confirm, and maybe this will do that. It would be cool if you have a shared level between the two games. Like, XP earned in both games just goes into the same pool. That would be fun.
Yeah,
that'd be an incentive to get both games.
Yeah. Even if you had, like, the same... Like, because Call of Duty games, you're pulling your character, your multiplayer information from a server. So there's no reason they couldn't do that, or you wouldn't be playing the same character. That'd be great. That'd be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. They showed Far Cry 3 co-op, which... Oh, I forgot to write that down. Ubisoft showed that there's two, but... A lot of boobs in that game.
Boobies!
And a lot of fuck.
Like, God... Did you see the beginning of the Far Cry trailer?
Where it's just like fuck was written all over the place?
Yeah, well, it was like Ubisoft Montreal, and it was like flashing, and then for like a split second it said Ubisoft Fucktreal. Like right there at the
really?
Beginning. Yes, really.
I missed that.
There's a slice of it someone captured, but yeah, too much swearing. Like honestly, like I swear a lot, and it's usually when I'm feeling insecure, and that's what it feels like these companies are doing. So.
I mean, I feel like they were like, okay, so what was a really popular shooter? Borderlands. A lot of people like Borderlands. Well, we've got Far Cry. What if we had similar co-op in Far Cry?
Are there going to be
my God.
Are there going to be loot drops? Because if there's not loot drops, then they're missing the point.
I don't know.
Yeah, it could be fun, but the reason
it could
like
be fun, I just...
Because Borderlands
just,
is first-person Diablo. I mean, like, yeah. Like,
yeah, I'm surprised it was something that was, like, shown at Sony's press briefing.
Also, those boobs totally aired on G4 and Spike, like, which I thought was
pretty
crazy.
I wonder if they told anybody about that. Heads up.
Yeah. They were on a delay for all the swearing, so I doubt it.
Yeah, I was going to say, what did they do in like the part where like just fuck was written all over the wall?
Yeah, good point. I don't remember. Like, I wonder if I have that recorded. I'd like to check that.
I don't know, because I was watching the stream, so.
They probably cut away. They probably cut to like the audience.
Yeah. Oh, can we talk about that real quick? I hate it when you're watching these videos and, like, they zoom out so you can, like, see the screen as the audience is seeing it, but you could see the guy with the controller, like, a little pixel in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm trying to just watch it. Why do I care?
The helicopter shot, yeah.
Yeah, like, stop that.
So, like, you don't need to establish, an atmosphere for me. Like, that's not what this is about.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
Like, this is just some guy trying to win an Emmy for production. Like,
yeah, he wants to do the Oscars someday. Yeah,
exactly.
Let's see. They announced a DLC. Oh, excuse me, DLC coming to, I guess like an app for the Vita, that'll let it be a controller for Little Big Planet 2.
With the touch.
Sounds very Wii U-esque.
Yep.
Excuse me. I got hiccups all of a sudden. Great. This'll be good for radio.
Yeah.
So that's all well and good. They announced PlayStation 1 to the Vita, which was met with thunderous applause, which is usually a sign that there aren't enough games in your system when everyone's excited that they can play PlayStation 1 games on it.
Is this the Gaikai streaming thing?
Like, no. As there are PS1 games in the store now, you can play them on a PS3 and PSP. They finish the emulator, basically, for Vita.
Okay. Yeah.
That's fine. I mean, I have some of those games purchased, so it means I'll get access to them. I have Vagrant Story and Wild Arms, I believe, so that'll be nice. Then we get to the Wonder Book. Oh, the Wonder Book. It's an augmented reality thing that uses the Move. First of all, I'm ready to say no more augmented reality ever, because it doesn't work. It just doesn't.
Did you see the trailer online now on YouTube?
Nah.
I don't know if they did this in person. I was writing something else, but I watched the trailer right before we did this, and it's like right in the middle of it, it comes out, and this really British voice seriously says, like, this is not really what it looks like, because the kid's sitting there surrounded by Harry Potter world. It's like, images appear on the television. It's like, yeah, it's not a holodeck. I get it. Like, obviously it's not going to be as magical as
this. This is my problem with all the PlayStation Eye stuff, the Kinect stuff, and presumably Wii U. They do this all the time, where they're pulling the video feed to, like, put you in the game. Like, you know, iToy Pet did this, and... You get it with like U-Star 2. But these are not HD cameras. So when you put that video footage into this crisp HD video game image, it just looks awful.
Mm-hmm.
And if these were HD cameras, I feel like it would solve 90% of the tracking problems that both of these systems have.
Yeah.
Because they're just with 60 frames low resolution.
Per second, because the frames per second also, with all the motion blur yeah. that happens, that's yeah. half the problem.
I mean, so this was, if you were looking for your flub at E3, this was it. They tried to cast Alohomora on a door, and it just was not working.
Yeah.
Like, at all. And it was super awkward. And the woman who's demoing it, like, even when it was working, she looked like the least joyous person I've seen in my life. Well, she's like, oh, they gave me $20.
Yeah, like, I know this is yeah, bullshit. Yeah, I'll wave I'm this so thing sorry. Around. Like, oh, I just want to end.
I don't, like, I mean, it'll sell buttloads well, because this Book of Spell Things is written by J.K.
Yeah,
Rowling.
Yeah, J.K. Rowling.
I wouldn't be surprised if when this comes out, it's called Harry Potter, the Book of Spells, so everyone knows.
That'll happen. Yep, I wouldn't take that bet.
But, I'm trying to put myself in the perspective of a kid who would like this. But all I could think when I do that is the minute that thing doesn't work, I'm not going to want to play with it anymore.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. Hopefully they figure it out. I don't know, whenever I do augmented reality, especially something where what you're looking at is moving around, it never perfectly sticks. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It doesn't
like,
work
like
well
when you use those AR cards in the 3DS and you start trying to like spin around something, it doesn't look like it's actually planted in the environment.
Yeah.
It looks like the processor is trying to put it there and can't.
Yeah, it shakes and vibrates like when something really wouldn't. Yeah, it doesn't look as they advertise it, definitely.
Yeah. They show God of War Ascension. It's God of War. There's an elephant. Everyone's really excited about this elephant. I don't know.
I think he looks cute. He's adorable.
Okay, you like splattered
you,
skull.
Then you see his brains.
Yeah, great. I don't know. I think I'm just finally getting it. Well, not that I really wasn't before, but God of War is starting to kind of wear thin on me.
Yeah, I couldn't care less about it. It looks pretty, but all the God of War games do, and I haven't
yeah,
played some of them. So
that's
I'll just
never
play
been
those.
Their problem.
Like, yeah.
But then all is well. They showed not one but two Assassin's Creed games. First, Assassin's Creed Liberation, which is the Vita game. Completely independent game, separate from AC3, set in the same time period. It takes place in New Orleans, and you're a female spy.
Yep, and she's half African and half French. And she looks
yes.
She looks exotic, like most of the Assassin's Creed characters do. And this is one of the first games to star a black female, which is impressive.
Yeah.
I'm glad
yeah.
someone's doing it. It's a handheld
the
game.
The only thing is...
But still, it's a huge franchise, so it's impressive.
Was it me, just me, though? I mean, when you looked at this gameplay, it looked distinctly not as good
Definitely
as
not.
The console ones. And
well, it's being made
that
by...
was a like a. It was a. I mean, but just like from a, like a fidelity point of view, like the character models weren't as detailed. It's like oh,
but like, it's the same thing. I think you guys talked about this, where it's these teams that like the Super Mario Galaxy team makes the Mario game on 3DS. This is a different Ubisoft team that hasn't made an Assassin's Creed game before making this. And
well, it's not even that.
It's like,
I mean,
it's Uncharted
I mean,
Golden Abyss. I think it's part of it, but yeah.
I feel like even if it was like the proper team, I'm just saying like for all of Sony's like wanting us to think that Vita and PS3 games almost look as good as each other and they're on par and you could play the same games. This was the first time where it was
it's
markedly less looking,
yeah.
less good looking than its console counterpart. Like Uncharted, you could tell it's not quite as good looking as Uncharted 3, but it looks still really good. This didn't have that. Like it looked considerably downgraded to me, and maybe I'm nitpicking, but like that immediately hit me. I'm sure it'll play fine.
The animation was a little janky. Yeah.
Yeah. But then for Assassin's Creed 3, they showed something that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
Apparently, at some point in the story, Connor becomes a Navy captain in the Caribbean. Because why not? And they had full-blown ship battles. A lot of people poo-pooed it like, oh, there was like no taking into account for the wind direction. And it was
who
a little
cares?
Simple.
It looks so awesome.
Because you know what this gets right? That I've been waiting like ever since like all these pirate RPGs have been coming out. What makes this so exciting is you're like at the helm, steering the ship, lining up the cannons. You have like an aiming thing, but your crew is running all over the place, mm-hmm. getting shit done. And that is what makes it so exciting to me, is just seeing all this stuff going on around you. It just looks so cool. And then when that storm broke out, like, yeah, everything's violently choppy, tossing and turning. Oh, my God. I wanted to play that so bad. I thought it looked fantastic.
Yeah, I did. I did too. I mean, I'm glad it's surrounded by an Assassin's Creed game, because I don't know if I would want a game that was focused primarily on that. But to break up the action with that kind of, you know, good-looking sea battle, like, yeah, I'm all for it.
And then they ended their conference pretty well. We knew this was coming, but it was an impressive showing nonetheless of The Last of Us, which is the new Naughty Dog game set in sort of post-apocalyptic Pittsburgh, with not zombies, but fungal creatures, who we didn't see in this demo. We saw just the other human survivors. Now, let me ask you this, because I saw a lot of this on Twitter, but people reacted really negatively to the violence. More so to the fact that the audience applauded every time something violent happened, I guess.
Well, that's because they had those, like, that Sony put out a thing on their blog saying, we'll let in the 200, like, craziest fans who wait outside. And they did that, and so, of course, they're going to be the dude bros that love violence. Like, that's who waits out. Like, so I'm not surprised that it happened. I don't like when people cheer that stuff. That was kind of weird, because it's supposed to be horrifying, the violence you're seeing in this game. It is. Like, the guy's there, it's his daughter, right?
Or is it? No, they're actually, it's just, I think he got, like, hired to basically take her to another safety zone.
Still, it's, like, this kind of fragile-looking female, and it looks really intense, really scary, and you're supposed to kind of feel like this is really a terrible situation, and then the fact that you had to smash the guy's face into the dresser, I don't know, don't applaud that, maybe.
Yeah, and then you shot a guy point blank with a shotgun.
As he's saying, no, like, yeah he was trying to kill you.
Yeah, that's what was interesting about it.
And she's responding to everything that's happening. You kill a guy or shoot a guy or you get shot. She's asking you, she's talking to you about it. And that's, you know, that makes it really real. I mean, I think it's going to be a great game because of that stuff.
I found so interesting, I mean, like, when they showed Uncharted 3 last year, they showed the Burning Chateau, a big set piece, you know? This part of the game they showed was ostensibly just a typical encounter. And it was incredibly exciting. Can you imagine a game that is made up of this?
It's gonna be emotionally exhausting. Like, it's gonna be, because it.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it looks, just technically, probably one of the most impressive games, just because they're getting all those characters to act so dynamically. But, and the way he interacts with the world, like, was he like picking up individual bullets there? Like, I think.
He was reloading. It was a single, shot reload, revolver, but like. I guess, like, I Am Alive did a lot of this. I need to play that still. But I like this concept where, because bullets are so precious in this world and survival is so important to everybody, like, if you just find a guy and you pull a gun on him, whether it's loaded or not, he doesn't know, and he is going to back down. But then, like, you saw in this, the minute he, like, shot and nothing came out, and that guy was like, I know that sound, and he knew, like, you were fucked. And you realize you're screwed, so you're like, crap, well, now this guy has a gun, I don't. He's going to get really aggressive on me. I need to think of something. And then, I mean, just that level of detail and animation that Naughty Dog has, where, like, you know, he brushes up against the wall and he puts out his arm to push off of it, and the way he hides behind objects and everything about it just looks so good. Yeah. I don't understand. Mike and I have this conversation almost once a month. I don't understand how Naughty Dog, who, I mean, fantastic studio, and I don't mean to downplay what they do, but these were the guys who made Jak and Daxter and Jak 10 Racing. How did they figure out, above anybody else, how to make animation and games so good? And why isn't everyone else doing it? I don't get it.
I mean, it's probably just one or two really great hires, and they're the ones that have those guys. Like, it's probably just,
I mean,
really,
I'm sure
great
Sony
people.
Tossed them some money, but there are other studios with money. I don't understand, like, why this isn't how it's done now.
It's just so incredible. Typically, if you can get by without doing something, that's what people do. And then the companies or the entities that focus on doing, like, that one thing really well that no one's seen before stand above the rest. And then eventually, years later, people catch up, and that's probably just what's happening. It looks amazing. Yeah, I can't wait. Like, this is going to be, like, the one game I'm looking forward to outside of Watch Dogs, like the one game I have to play in the next year.
Yeah, those two are the for me also. That and Halo 4, I think, are like my three games from each, like my big three games for this year. The last thing I just want to touch on that they talked about at Sony was they prepared to make this PlayStation Plus announcement. I assume this was going to be PlayStation Plus coming to the Vita, which, again, is conspicuously absent. Now, they did announce a pretty sweet deal. You got a lot of free games if you have PlayStation Plus this month. And actually, I did sign up almost as a curiosity, but it was enough of an incentive. I was like, okay, I'll try this and see if I like it for a year. It's made me realize I need a bigger hard drive because I have an 80 gig and it's full, and I only downloaded one of those games that I got. But I'm surprised that they didn't bring that to the Vita. Like, it seems like, again, something else that could help the system out. Like, if you already have a PlayStation Plus subscription, when you go buy your Vita, you're going to get a couple free games.
So you don't get anything on the Vita right now if you have PlayStation Plus?
Not that I could find. I digged around in the store. There's no discounts. I mean, it could be just the fact that there's not enough content yet.
Yeah,
but come up with something.
Like, it's important. Like, that, it shows that you have a cohesive strategy. And if you don't do that, it shows that you don't really know what the hell you're doing.
Yeah. I thought that was weird. But whatever, I got Infamous 2 and Little Big Planet 2 and some other games. All right. So let's talk Nintendo to wrap it up. Now, Nintendo has decided to basically break up into three separate briefings. The first one was Sunday night on their Nintendo Direct. Then they had their proper press briefing this morning. And then tomorrow, they're going to do a 3DS-specific thing at, like, 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. It's, like, 9 o'clock at night here. So first on Sunday, it was presented by who I like to call Satoru Buzzkill Iwata. They need to stop bringing him out for English presentations. They have to.
He's adorable, but it's not working.
It's the most boring thing.
Because just, his cadence
when
is
he
all off.
Wants to present...
Yeah.
A new idea to an audience. It takes him a very long time with some difficult to understand words.
I love Iwata impression.
To explain basically nothing.
Like, yeah, he says a lot of nothing. Like, and
I mean, they're showing the proper version of the Wii U gamepad for the first time. Like, we saw prototypes last year, and those prototypes had 3DS-esque circle pad sliders. And, okay, thank God, they got rid of that. They put in analog sticks. And I shit you not, this is what he said. The Wii U gamepad features analog sticks that allow for a full 360 degrees range of motion. Additionally, the sticks can be pushed in to act as buttons for additional control. Like, big fucking deal.
Okay, thanks for catching
you
up.
You just described the DualShock 1.
Oh, man.
And Nintendo has, they have such a history of this. They announce the most boneheaded, obvious, already done things, but they act like they invented it.
Mm-hmm.
They need to stop doing that.
Well,
it's
the worst
so
example was
dumb.
The Wii U Pro controller.
Yeah, then they show that, which is a broken Xbox controller.
Is it broken because the analog sticks and the buttons are backwards?
Yes. Yes. Okay, I'm just saying, imagine playing Call of Duty on that thing and you want to jump. You have to, like, move your finger across the entire freaking controller to get to that A button all the way down at the bottom now.
Because normally your thumb hangs over it. Yeah.
I mean, you're probably going to want to remap it so that Y button becomes jump instead and B button's going to be reload. You have to, like, mirror your button controls.
How do people do it on the PlayStation, then?
It's the same on the PlayStation as the 360. The right analog stick and the buttons are relative to each other.
That's right, yeah. They're underneath
it.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Broken. Yeah.
I know.
Fuck.
And I'm reading some reports, and people are saying, oh, it's not as bad as it looks, but I'm just guessing you haven't played a game that really requires that kind of dexterity to go back and forth. Like I said, play a Call of Duty on that and let me know how it feels. Because I'm telling you right now, I mean, this is just my own speculation. I don't think it's going to be weird. You'll get used to it, but it's going to be weird. I don't know why they couldn't just keep it the way it is. I mean, it mirrors the layout of the Wii U gamepad, I guess. But whatever. So then on their Sunday night event, they kind of went into their online strategy, but not really.
I wrote about this, and I think it looks really interesting and has a lot of potential. It definitely looks integrated into everything, which is important.
I'm very impressed that it's going to work on cell phones and computer like this. Like basically, they made their own Twitter.
Yeah, but it's integrated on like every level of the system as well, like down into the like the game itself. People were creating like comments about levels that would appear on while everyone else is playing the same game.
It's very Dark Souls-esque.
And it's leaderboards taken to the next level, like that leaderboard experience that we all love, like competing with one another. If that sort of asynchronous connectivity was brought into every aspect of the game, that's what it looks like they're doing. I think it's, you know, it has the potential to be the best online, but people aren't going to take advantage of it in the best way because it's Nintendo and that's not what people.
Well, it's I still I just want to know. We don't know. Are there still friend codes, or are we going to get like a unified login finally? Am I going to have a friends list? How's multiplayer going to work? Is there a party system?
They definitely said that you're going to have a friends list of sorts, like it when it showed you the Wara Wara. Like they had the people.
Oh yeah, let's talk about that.
Like that's apparently what you open up to, and it's a lobby filled with.
I just want to point out that on Sunday it was called the Mii Wara Wara, and today it was called Main Street.
Okay, yeah. Well,
can I just say that real quick? That I think they saw Twitter go, "What the fuck is that?" And they're like, "Oh shit, maybe this wasn't a good idea." Like, I don't know. But he's like trying to explain that it's the sound a crowd makes according to the Japanese phonetics. I'm like, well, that's stupid because we live in America. Basically, I felt like it should be called the Wii Rabble Rabble.
Rabble, yeah.
But then they showed their little video, which almost became amusing because it was self-referential, but then it was a combination of becoming too obnoxious and too long.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan now of nondescript action figure, though. I want him to be in the next Super Smash Brothers.
That was kind of funny. But I just found it interesting that we went from the company that had friend codes to protect the children to this guy left a tip.
Let's video chat with old man.
Nondescript zombie game. Yeah, I'm going to video chat with him now. It's an old man who wants me to call him grandpa.
Yeah.
What? What?
It was let's video chat with old men. Like it's a 180 degree
that
turn.
Was,
from
bizarre to me. I mean,
pro-pedophilia.
It didn't seem to intimate that this guy was an existing friend of his. Like, he just, like, posted a thing to this game on the message board.
Call me grandpa, and the guy was like, that's weird, because that's, yes, like, exactly.
Because it's weird. I don't know what to make of it. We'll see, I guess.
I don't know. I wouldn't bet on Nintendo, like, doing it great, but a lot of that stuff is a really good idea, and it's the kind of stuff that I hope is in the next version of Xbox Live, like in the next system of Xbox Live.
I just hope it doesn't get too obtrusive. Like, when I'm playing fucking Mario, I don't need someone to pop up saying, look out for this jump.
Well, no.
Like, how about you just let me get there?
No, I understand that, but making single player games feel more connected to your friends is a big deal. Like, people were really, really respond.
Yeah, I mean, no, I agree, but you need to design for it. I'm a little worried about this kind of slap it on and it's done mentality they seem to have.
Not
every game needs that.
I think it's the best way to
when
do
I,
it.
But when I'm playing like Skyrim, I don't think I want
developers
that.
Will have the last say, I believe.
Right? I mean, I'm just hoping, I'm hoping people are smart about it is what I'm saying, basically.
Well, they won't be until, you know, the second round of games. At first, every game's going to happen in every moment. We'll all hate it. And then they'll figure it out. But
hopefully.
I'm glad that it's there, because I do think that making your single-player games feel like multiplayer games, because you're all talking about it, you're all having these experiences and connecting you and like letting you know exactly where your friends are, what they thought about this thing after it happened, that's really interesting to me. I love that sort of feeling. It's one of the reasons I listen to podcasts, because I want to hear what you guys are doing, what you're playing, what you think. And if that sort of experience was brought into every aspect of every game, I mean, yeah, it's going to be overkill at first, but once they figure it out, I think it's going to be nothing but good for games. I understand why people are skeptical. I understand why people don't think it makes sense, but hopefully once we get more information, we'll know if they know what they're doing.
Right. So that was more or less what they showed at that thing. Then we had the actual briefing today. First thing that was great, Miyamoto comes out on stage with a clever little opening bit and shows Pikmin 3 for the Wii U.
Yeah, he was adorable when he came out, and then they showed a
fantastic
game.
So, I don't know if it's two gameplay modes or just two ways of playing. It wasn't clear, but it's like you can either play with the Wiimote Plus in a nunchuck, kind of like you did with New Play Control Pikmin,
mm-hmm.
and do it like that, and have the Wii U gamepad like by you to use as an overhead map.
It sounds like you can hot swap, but go, yeah, finish explaining.
Yeah, because when you use the gamepad, you don't control Olimar, you control four different characters simultaneously. And it seemed to play a little more like a traditional RTS would in that sense, because you're moving around the map itself more. So it looks fantastic. I'm curious to see how that plays out.
Yeah, my girlfriend's in Philadelphia today, and she loved the first Pikmin. I got her the New Play Control, and she played the hell out of it. She loved it, and she's always wanted to play the second one. I'm glad it's finally coming out. But I haven't really been talking to her today. I've just been working, and she just sent me a text saying, I want number two and number three. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, Pikmin. I'm like, oh, wow, okay. Like wow, I didn't even know you were paying attention to this. But
Well, Play Control Pikmin 2 comes out this summer.
Yeah, I can't wait. Yes. Cannot wait for that. But yeah, this looks really great.
I mean, it's the first time we got to see Nintendo make something graphically rich, high def, everything like that. Look good.
It looked great. Yeah, I don't know if it was as good looking as I hoped. But then again, I don't think it's indicative of the power.
A critique of mine later, but
yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, the next thing they show is New Super Mario Brothers U.
Universe.
Again, very, predictable thing, but still looks fantastic. My only beef is I didn't quite understand why I needed the Wii U gamepad for this game. Now, I know there's, the mode where a fifth person is using that pad to, create blocks, and that Mike was explaining this to me, played it today. I mean, it's kind of there for you to help people, but he said it's almost more fun when you're trying to be a dick, and they have to work around you. Like, someone tries to go jump a pit, and you put a block over their head all of a sudden, and it fucks them up, and are they going to make it now? He said that was actually more fun.
It's the old pressing pause on the first player controller while the second player's playing on the NES game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was what was fun in my house. Caused a lot of fights.
Oh, real quick. I like how they announced that it'll support two gamepads, and they're like, just as the original Nintendo Entertainment System supported two controllers, so does this. What?
So not four.
Okay. And apparently, when you're running two, the frame rate's cut in half.
Dear God.
Now, they've said initially they'll be releasing games that only use one. So maybe they feel like they can technically overcome that later on, but that's the case, Iwata said. They also said that it has a 3 to 5 hour battery life. Which, it's not processing. I don't know. There'll be battery attachments for it, I'm sure, that you'll buy them and make it huge.
And bulky and heavy.
Yep. Anyway, moving on to the games. Now, we get to the troubling part of the show. This is where I realized something was up. So, at this point, Reggie's out on stage, being Reggie. They bring out some guy from Warner Brothers who needs to go to public speaking lessons immediately, because, oh my god, that guy was awful.
Yeah, explain this all to me. I was writing for Pikmin 3 at this point, so I missed a lot.
I'm trying to remember. This guy had a very weird speech pattern. It was just very bad. It was very bad actor voice. He did not belong on stage at all. You know, he's some executive from Warner Brothers Interactive, and man, it was cringe-inducing. So they show first Batman Arkham City Armored Edition, which is a launch title. It's Arkham City. You get armored suits for Batman and Catwoman, and there's some, gamepad-specific controls where you have a Batarang that you can control with a gyroscope, and you, watch it on that screen. You're setting off explosives by tapping on them so you can control which one goes off when. My only question is, this game has so much to overcome because there was nothing I saw. Someone who played and loved Arkham City, nothing in that made me say, well, shit, I need to buy this game again for $60 so I can play this version. Nope. That didn't happen. And then when it comes out, it's going to be sitting on a shelf next to a $20 Xbox copy. No. I'm not going to buy a $250, best case scenario. I keep saying that automatically. X amount of dollar Wii U and Batman for $60, or for my already existing Xbox or PS3, if I didn't already play it, here's the $30 copy. I don't get that at all. But whatever, they need games for it, I guess. But I hope that this isn't the trend now, that we're going to get a lot of late ports with just some sort of touchscreen control added.
Well, I mean, there's some that will be in the sizzle reel later, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, they had Scribblenauts Unlimited, which, you know, is a console Scribblenauts game. That's fine. Nothing outstanding, I guess. I don't know, you could share creations and
the Unlimited
combine stuff.
Implies that it's online and everything eventually will be in there. Is that what it means? Or again,
I don't know. Well, it starts with a U, you see.
Oh, God damn it. God damn it.
I don't know. I just feel like Scribblenauts was one of those games that previewed well, and everyone was really excited for the concept. And it's fun to play around with, but it gets old really fast. It just does. No one wants to admit that. I'll say it. It gets old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
You basically find that one combination that beats everything. You get a rocket pack and a rope, and you can beat every level instantly.
Well, you could just, and some of you could just write the thing, the star or whatever it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
And But you do the memes as well, too. Like, just do all the quick memes. You do Keyboard Cat.
Put a zombie and a vampire and watch that. Yep. And yeah, do Keyboard Cat. And yes. All right, so sizzle reel plate of third-party content. Mass Effect 3. Again, port. Didn't even show what makes this Wii U version unique. You're not going to be able to play 1 and 2 on this system, so you're not going to have the persistence that the trilogy is famous for. Okay. Darksiders 2, that's fine, not out yet. Tank, which looked kind of fun. Don't know much about it.
Tekken Tag said it was good. He played it today. He said it made
okay, that's good.
Games, but yeah, go on.
Tekken Tag Tournament 2, whatever. Trine 2, Director's Cut, could be good. Ninja Gaiden 3, don't care. And then what I would think would be like their big coup, Aliens Colonial Marine, a system exclusive, big deal, first-person shooter, just flash by in this sizzle reel. I don't understand why that didn't get more time. I really don't.
Well, because they don't have anything to show.
I guess. I mean, they had some gameplay. Well, here's the other thing, too. Aside from Just Dance 4, there wasn't a single live demo of anything at this briefing. Everything was pre-recorded video.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, maybe they got scared after the mishaps with Skyward Sword last year, but...
I think it's smart, because it just keeps the thing moving, and... I don't really trust them.
You would think.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
Did you get to watch the show in its entirety?
I know, for a huge portion of this, I was writing Pikmin 3. So are we going to talk about We Fit You? Is that what...
Yeah, next is We Fit You, which, again, they showed, you know, video of this happy young couple bantering back and forth as they did little workouts. The one part, like, the guy gets on the balance board... And then puts the game pad directly in front of him and starts, like, running in place. All I can imagine is how many people are going to step on that controller, which is going to be a lot. But it just seems silly, because you need to get out the Wii Fit board and the game pad controller. And then there's a little pedometer, and then you might have nunchucks and Wii remotes. And you look at Nike Plus Fitness and the Kinect, where it's just nothing. It's the Kinect. Like, which one would you rather do?
You know what's going to be a problem? If... This thing is just going to be a one-controller system. Like there probably aren't going to be a ton of shops that are going to have these backup controllers, like, sitting in stock. Because who's going to buy a second one if no game supports it? So,
I assume they'll sell it, but, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be there. It'll exist because people are going to break theirs, and they are going to need replacements. Like, but it's probably going to be expensive.
What happened at the end of this video was, like, the girl was, like, done with her workout, but the guy still had to, like, catch up or something. So she turns on the TV to, like, you know, show. But he's got, you know, the gamepad, and he's doing, like, lunges or something and looking at the gamepad. And they seem to make a big deal of this, that, like, you know, this exists in parts that when the TV is being used, you can keep gaming. So that makes me feel like you have to still design your games to play on one screen. You know what I mean?
Right. The second screen applications that will happen, like, while you're playing are going to have to be even more useless than they were before.
Like, they either have to be optional or secondary or able to be played without, I guess. I don't know.
Well, if it had multi-swipe, you could do a four-finger swipe to get to that other screen on the fly. But as far as we can tell, it doesn't have multi-touch.
It does not. It confirmed does not. You can use a finger.
Finger looks like it was working well, which is...
Or for more accuracy, you use a stylus. Then they showed Sing, which is a karaoke game that looked fine. You know, you see the lyrics on the gamepad, so the idea is... You can face out at your crowd while you're singing, and they're watching you and the visuals behind you. That's fine. Then we kind of got to 3DS. Again, some other Nintendo exec came out, and this guy does not know how to speak in public.
Yeah, he did poor.
At all.
Poorly, yeah. I wrote this.
So, well. they said, we're going to have our 3DS event tomorrow, but here's some quick looks. So they showed New Super Mario Bros. 2, 3DS. For some reason, gold is a big deal in this. I don't know why. He made some thin reference to the Olympics, but I don't understand why gold coins are flying all over the place. It just looked distracting.
Well, it looks like that's going to be the goal. Like, try to collect as many gold coins in a time limit or something, and everything was turning into gold.
Can I just...
Mario turned into gold. The enemies turned
into
gold.
Can I just play Mario? Like,
I mean, they need to do something different, because they're going to have this and...
No, they didn't. That game is hugely popular and successful. I don't know why they're screwing with it like this.
No, true, but the new Super Mario Brothers U coming at the same time, like, they're going to want to differentiate them somehow. But yeah, you're right. I would have bought both no matter what if they were just kind of the same thing with different levels.
Yeah, exactly. I just don't know why they felt the need to do that. Whatever. Maybe it's justified in the game. That's fine. We'll see.
The best level designers in the world, they don't really have to do too many gimmicks. So.
Right. Then they showed, this looks awesome. Paper Mario Sticker Star.
Although, are those... Okay, so you pick up stickers in the world, you peel them off, and then you use them as your battle commands. And it looked like they were peeling away as you used them. So that means, like, when you peel them all away, you don't have it again. You have to go find it again in the world.
This is my guess. I don't know. But I'm assuming you have, like, a basic attack, and then those just make up all your special attacks.
Okay.
And then, presumably, as you're going along, you're probably finding more powerful stickers in the higher-level environments.
Yeah, bigger stickers. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I always hate those one-time use or, like, limited-use items, because then I never use them, because I'm like, oh, I'm gonna
well,
save them,
if... The way I'm thinking this might shake out is the way it did in Penny Arcade Adventures. Because they designed the game to do this, where you were finding shit so much, and there was an inventory cap. So it was saying, look, use it. Don't worry. You're going to find another very soon. I hope they do the same thing. Because I'm like that, too. Like, as far back as Mega Man 2, I wouldn't even use my special weapons throughout the level because I was worried I'd need them for the boss.
Yeah.
So as long as they're plentiful enough, I won't feel guilty using them to, like, kill a Goomba. But it looks awesome. I think that in 3D, in particular, will look really cool.
That's going to be eye-catching, and it's gonna be great. They know what they're doing with that design as well.
Then they showed Luigi's Mansion 2 Dark Moon, which is the new subtitle for the new Luigi's Mansion.
Multiple mansions. More focused on ghost catching, stuff like that. Yeah,
I think it looks great. I like Luigi's Mansion. I hope they keep the same theme song. That's my favorite thing, how Luigi was, like, nervously humming along to the music in the game.
Yeah, that's charming. I hope they bring that back as well.
Then there was a sizzle reel for that 3DS. We saw the announced Castlevania, Lords of Shadow, Mirror of Fate. It's a lot of subtitles.
Yeah, two subtitles.
Epic Mickey, The Power of Illusion, which hells yes, please. Scribblenauts Unlimited and Kingdom Hearts 3D, or Dream Drop Distance, if you want to be a dick about it. Which they confirmed Leonard Nimoy is back on the voice cast for that game earlier this week. That makes me happy.
And just to be clear, Squeenix obviously wants to be a
dick about it. Doing a very bad job of retiring from acting.
Sorry. Yeah.
Next game they showed, now this I thought was, it started off bad, but it got better, was Lego City Undercover.
Yeah, it looks pretty good from what I saw.
It's basically GTA for kids, but it looks like it's going to be witty enough that it'll be entertaining.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the writing and dialogue that the characters had.
I know kids will love it, and I think people who love Lego will love it.
Let's see. They showed Just Dance 4, which is Just Dance, except whoever has the gamepad gets to be the puppet master, and they get to, like, pick what routines are coming up next, which, whatever. Okay. Then was Zombie U. Like I said, this was supposedly gameplay, or I think they were positioning it to look like gameplay. I don't think it was. Again, zombie shooter, I'm getting tired of it, but it might be good. We'll see. Then there was another third-party sizzle reel, Assassin's Creed 3, Rabbids Land, Your Shape Fitness Evolved 2013, Rayman Legends, which they really should have shown at the show, Sports Connection, and then again that Avengers Battle for Earth. Again, just nothing in that showed what made these games essential to be played on the Wii U.
Yeah. I mean, if I go out and buy a Wii U this holiday, and I'm in the mood to buy another game with it, I might buy something like Assassin's Creed 3, but and play it on that just to see. But I don't know. Yeah, otherwise I wouldn't touch it because I'm only going to buy it if I'm in that launch day hype. And if it's not available in that like really quick window, I'm just going to get it for something else. So, yeah.
Yep. So we're all kind of sitting here going, okay, well, we're getting to the end.
What's the big
surprise? Maybe something cool will happen.
Yep.
Big surprise. Nope, it's Nintendo Land. This is their minigame tech demo collection. Again, we have a Japanese executive come out, or creative director or whatever, with the translator, who even he seemed confused by this. The conceit of the game is that it's like a Nintendo theme park, and all the attractions are basically minigames based around different Nintendo properties. Not a bad idea. The one they showed was the Luigi's Mansion game, which is basically Pac-Man Versus, if you remember that.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to explain to you exactly how this game plays in more or less 30 seconds. The four players play on the screen with Wii remotes. They can't see the ghost, but they're just trying to find him and shine their flashlight on him before their batteries run out. The ghost on the Wii U gamepad can see everything. He's trying not to get caught and potentially sneak up behind the other players to scare them to score points. That's how the game is played. It took this man 15 minutes to explain that. And it's like they're showing like the gameplay behind him, and like it's going along. You see the guys walk around, and then like it pauses and zooms in. He's like, "So what's happening here?"
The
player has spotted the ghost, and they've shown the flashlight. Now the ghost needs to get away, because as long as they're in that light, they're going to keep losing points, and they have 100 points, and once they lose those points, they lose. So as long as that light's on them, he's taking damage, and he needs to get away. Now, it's very important that the player who finds the ghost coordinates with the other characters to keep him. It's like, oh, my God. Why is this taking forever? We get it. You don't even need to talk. Just show 2 minutes of gameplay. We'll figure it out. This is not complicated. If it is complicated, that's a massive fail. Because little Jimmy and Grandma are not going to figure out how to play this game.
Right. This is your Wii Sports. Like, you're going
to... Oh, my God. It was such a clunky presentation. Ugh. It just went on and on. And then, honestly, like, it's funny. As I'm watching the feed, I'm on Twitter, and a lot of people I follow are there, and they're ahead of me because of the delay.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, like, waiting for this to end so we can see what's next. And then all the tweets start coming in. That's it? Oh, my God, it's over. Like, they didn't end on anything else. Like, that's how it ended.
Yep.
And it was. Reggie came out, thanked everyone for their time, said have a nice day, and the show was over. Apparently, the feed on Nintendo.com kept going with Iwata coming back out to hold up a banana.
And apparently, it had a bunch of interesting stuff on there that I'm still not entirely clear on, but yeah.
But overall, I thought we had so many questions that I feel needed to be answered for this thing. I mean, the system comes out this year, and I'm just kind of confused. They basically, I mean, Nintendo has...
They don't understand. They don't understand what they're selling.
No. They have basically two games, as far as I'm concerned, coming out. Pikmin and New Super Mario. I don't care about a Batman port. I don't care about a karaoke game. I don't care about a new Wii Fit. Like,
yeah. I think they needed quite a bit more than that. At least one huge surprise at the end where it's like, oh, my God, wow, they're doing this. And
the thing was, too, like for all their ballyhoo of, oh, it's more powerful than the Xbox and the PlayStation, blah, 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 there should have been some game from Nintendo, not like the port of Batman or this Zombie U. Nintendo should have been there with a game that just graphically blew us away.
Yeah.
Could you imagine how amazing it would have been if there would have been, like, a retro-developed Metroid Prime game that had just amazing graphics, used this Wii U controller as, like, a scanner and for aiming. Like, they could have done something so cool. And maybe they are. I don't know. But it wasn't here.
Yeah.
They needed something of that level to really impress it. Like, I think they thought Pikmin 3 was going to do that. And, I mean, honestly, when I saw Pikmin 3, I went... Okay, good.
Yeah, if they're opening with this.
They said they were going to make Pikmin 3. It hasn't come out for the Wii yet. I kind of assumed it moved to Wii U. It's kind of what I expected. This is great. I'm glad they're doing it.
Exactly.
What else you got?
Right, and that was the promise. Like, we're opening with this. And he even said, he's like, we're just going to show games. That's what it's all about. I'm like, excellent. This is going to escalate from here, and we're going to end with something amazing. And it didn't.
No. I was really disappointed.
Now, there's this Project P100 from the Bayonetta guys, Platinum, and it just looks like an Incredibles Pikmin, like, is what it looks like. It looks like a bunch of superheroes in a really colorful cartoon world, played from the Pikmin perspective, like, where you're controlling a lot of troops, and it doesn't look interesting, and it doesn't look like a Platinum game. And, I mean, it might be good, but, I mean, it is Pikmin, like, from what they showed. And if I'm going to play this or Pikmin, I'm going to go with Pikmin. Like, and I'm not going to get two of these
games. I actually didn't see this yet, but I know a lot of people were talking about it. Again, I admit, I'm not impressed by Platinum the way other people are, but hearing you say this now makes me even less impressed. I didn't know it was Pikmin. I assumed it was an action game.
Yeah. It's like, I liked Bayonetta quite a bit, but other than that, like, there's not much in Platinum. But I just thought they're going to do something crazy and really impressive and really show the graphics off or something, and it does none of that. And then it's Pikmin. Like, they just showed Pikmin. We don't, like, that's why they didn't show it at their show, because it was like, well, this is just like this other game that we want people to buy over this, and it's probably going to be better anyway. So
I mean, basically, when the Wii U comes out now, I need to ask myself, unless something else gets announced or shown between now and then, do I want to spend X amount of dollars so I can play a new Pikmin game, the new Super Mario, and Rayman? And honestly, of those three, Rayman's the one I'm most excited about.
Looks really good, yeah.
It does. And now, this kind of leads to my next question. I knew they said they weren't going to announce it, even though, like, Adam Sessler's like, oh, they got to announce price. I bet they announced price. They said they weren't going to already. So what do you think this is going to cost, and what do you think it should cost?
I think it's going to cost $2.99. I think it should cost, I mean, I think it should cost $1.99, but it's going to be, like, I'd be happy with $249.99, $250.
I think it should be $249. I'd bet probably $349 might go as high as $399. Do you think Nintendo Land will be a pack-in?
Yes, definitely, 100%.
And I think it has to be.
Yeah, no doubt in my mind. In America, yes. Japan, who knows? But
and here's the other thing you have to consider. If you don't have a Wii, if you're just buying a new Wii U and you want to play these games they showed, you want to play the Luigi's Mansion game Chasing the Ghost.
So I think that's a question as well. Does it come
I don't know. And you're going to have to buy 3 to 4 Wiimotes, 4 nunchucks.
Yeah. I mean,
if you want the pro controllers, you're going to be buying those. Mm-hmm. You might have to get a balance board. You're going to be buying a lot of shit for this system.
Yeah.
Like, a lot.
I don't know. I don't think Nintendo's outlook's that great. They need. I thought it was a question mark going into here. I'm like, they have a really great opportunity to show something amazing and get a lot of people excited. But they have to win hardcore gamers this time. They can't just sort of catch half of them and then rely on, you know, young kids and grandparents and casuals and moms who are buying for Wii Fit. They can't do that. Because those people aren't going to buy another system. Like, they already have the Wii. They've moved on. So they have to get hardcore gamers if they're going to make money. And based on this showing, like, there could be stuff on the floor. Like, that does happen. But based on this showing, I'm not feeling too good about it.
I just got a text message from Mike. Where'd it go? Hang on. Basically just said Pikmin 3 is great.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It's going to be... I'm going to pick up a system because I'm going to want to be playing those games, be reviewing them and stuff. And I love Pikmin, and my girlfriend loves Pikmin. We're going to play it together, and it's going to be great. I wouldn't blame anyone if they're like, I'm going to skip this until there's a real reason. Because Nintendo Land is not it. Like, I think even us hardcore gamers wanted to try Wii Sports. We wanted to know what it was all about, and it was kind of fun to play with your friends, like four-player, kind of have a drinking night where everyone's standing up and talking when they're not playing. Like, that was good at that time. But
yeah, but, like, after the holidays, when that system came out, the only time I ever played Wii Sports is if people came over.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, can we play that Wii thing? It's like, all right, yeah, I don't mind.
Yeah, of course.
But, like, it's not like I was, like, at home by myself, like, oh, I got to get a better score in bowling.
Yeah, and Nintendo Play is just Wii, or Nintendo Land is just Wii Play with a few other ideas in there, and that's not, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. And you didn't watch it. Just, I mean, their presentation, the showmanship of this, of a broadcast on MTV2 and Spike TV, was just awful. I mean, even Reggie, I never understood what people get so, because, all because he came out some about kicking ass and making great games.
Taking names,
I mean, everyone still hinges on that. Yeah, he swore once. This does not mean he's a great presenter. He's actually not. He's very awkward. He tries to have these little dialogues with everybody when they come out. Like, he's talking to, like, this Ubisoft guy. He's like, well, I mean, I'd like to thank you for coming out here today.
Yeah. And
oh, yeah, yeah, no, I am very happy to be here. Yeah, so, you know, it's great to see you. And so you've got some games here to show us, right? And it's like, oh, yes. You're like, just don't fuck her off. You just...
Just, yeah.
Just say, okay, thanks for coming. What do you got?
Yep, and he's always on teleprompter and
yeah.
reading like and then, he's on oh, teleprompter.
I forgot this, too. When they're showing Zombie U, they did this, like, augmented reality thing with the gamepad where it, like,
I've seen the
zombified
memes.
Your face.
Yep.
Oh, God. Well, he's sitting there like, I'm coming to eat you.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
And then the thing didn't even fucking work. It kept getting screwed up. It looked just bad. Ugh. When are they going to learn? I mean, it wasn't – by no means was this the guy – this was not the guy playing Wii drums for half an hour. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't Vitality Sensor bad. And to their credit, for the actual show, they kept Iwata away from the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. Because this thing – like I said, like, thank God he's not coming out because there's no momentum left for him to kill by the end. Like, ugh.
I don't know. I
feel bad. I wanted them to knock it out of the park. I really did.
Me too.
You know, and I knew there wasn't going to be a new Zelda. I was like, oh, a new Zelda. We just got a Zelda game a year ago. They're not going to have a new one. But I thought something from Retro. I mean, you know Retro's been doing something. I can't believe they have anything to show yet. I mean, you know, there could have been a new Kirby game. I mean, you had Pikmin and Mario. That was it.
It's
I just don't know.
Yep, I'm not hot on it, like, based on what they showed. I mean, I want to hear good things from the floor. Like, I want to hear people getting their hands on it and playing something we haven't heard about and be like, oh, this is the real deal. Like, all that stuff on the mm-hmm. stage was for USA Today and CNN. CNN, who just posted an article, by the way, calling the Wii U a peripheral for the Wii. So their messaging's
Whoops.
All... Yeah, their messaging's all messed up. Yeah, they and no one knows what they're doing. Nintendo doesn't
That's
know what they're
funny.
Selling. Sony doesn't know what they're doing. Microsoft is just farting around until they can get past this year so they can sell another console and sell 360 for more a year. They're selling us movies. No one knows what they're doing. It's disappointing. Like,
well, it's an effect of this console generation, frankly, going too long.
Yeah.
No one, we've never been in this situation, so no one really knows how to act. I mean, honestly, Sony's probably handling it the best. I mean, they introduced a major AAA new IP.
Yeah,
and so did Ubisoft, I guess.
Yeah, that's great, but like, but then you look at the Vita, and it's like, no, they actually don't know what they're doing. None of them.
Yeah.
None of them have a cohesive plan, and they're scrambling because of Apple, and their responses to this is, it's incoherent and just kind of desperate, and you know they're not going to work. We're standing. At this point in time, and we're looking at what they're, and we know none of this is going to be what we're using in 3 years to control our televisions, and it's just, mm-hmm. just focus on the games, like, just give us really good
yeah.
games.
Well, you made me remember something I considered bringing up. Like, this is the extremist in me, but I mean, like I said, Vita and 3DS were not highlights of either of these briefings. Is this kind of a concession to the fact that, yeah, Apple's really taken over the whole handheld space, so we're not going to give it as much focus, even though we, Sony, just launched a new piece of hardware, but, like, we started planning it 4 years ago, so we couldn't cancel it? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I necessarily believe that. It's more just kind of fuel for the fire. But it is curious that no one really focused. I mean, especially Nintendo. They own the handheld space for 2 decades.
Yeah, but then, again, this isn't uncommon for Nintendo. They've done this before.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I didn't really think that through. So I got just a couple quick little miscellaneous things that weren't shown in any pressers that I wanted to talk
Star
about.
Star Wars.
Star Wars 1313.
Looks great.
Now,
looks unbelievable.
Up front, they said this is running on a high-end PC. It's coming to the consoles, but it's probably not going to look this good.
No way.
Again, this is
going to
be. I think this is going to be a trend for a while.
Yes.
Which is a shame, because my PC won't make it look that good.
Yeah,
but my God, did it look amazing.
Yeah, I expect
like,
this
if you try to imagine, like, try to imagine what Uncharted would look like for the PlayStation 4, but then put it, like, in, like, a side of Star Wars you've never really seen before.
Right.
That's kind of what this seemed like. It was amazing.
It's
I mean,
CGI.
It was breathtakingly good.
It's the CGI, like, that from the, like, all the BioWare trailers and... and all the Blizzard trailers, and it looks almost that good. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. But it's gameplay. Like, yeah, I was blown away. I couldn't believe it. It was honestly one of the best-looking things I've ever seen.
And this is going to be, like, the new kind of crisis where people are going to be using this game as the benchmark for what how good of a system you have. Like,
yeah, I just built a $3,000 PC. Let's see how it runs Star Wars 1313.
Exactly, and that's been Crysis since Crysis has come out, and now this is going to be that.
Yeah, it was impressive.
And I really like
the...
Yeah, go ahead.
They talk about how ILM is involved with the creation of this game, and it shows.
Yeah, and they're like...
I mean, it definitely shows.
Like, we obsess on how visuals look in movies, and now we're doing it for this game, and it's way harder, but it's paying off. And it looks like they're creating all kinds of new technology, and they do that all the time. Like, they had that Indiana Jones game they were working on where they were breaking apart the 2x4, and it was breaking apart in a realistic fashion, and now a lot of people use that technology. It's going to be it looks like a breakthrough. It looks groundbreaking. Also, I really like the fiction where it's taking place in the bowels of Coruscant, where all the underground stuff happens, which I always thought was a really overlooked aspect of the Star Wars movies, and they try to do it in Attack of the Clones. There's no Jedi.
It's M-rated. I mean, he's snapping necks and stuff. This could be cool.
Yep.
I am excited.
Yep, same here.
So I've been reading some previews, and there was a teaser trailer put out for Elder Scrolls Online, and man, is this really starting to worry me. Not that I wasn't worried already, but did you see this teaser trailer they put up?
I watched it. I was thinking about doing a post about it. It looked really cheesy.
If you would have told me this is for a Lord of the Rings game, I would have believed you. There's nothing about this that sells Elder Scrolls.
Generic.
I mean, but from Morrowind on, we've had a pretty established audiovisual style for these games. I mean, Jeremy Soule's theme has been constant throughout all three games. It's been modified and expanded, but it's been the same musical theme. So you could have worked with that. I mean, they have a very distinct look. Everything, like, I know why they're stylizing it, because it's an MMO. You want to run in more machines, and you can make more interesting things that take up less resources when you stylize. I mean, look at SWTOR.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what this game has been, like, this series has been about. You can't do that because it becomes unrecognizable. I mean, there may have been a way to do a stylized Elder Scrolls. I mean, they did a stylized Star Wars, but it's too far removed. There's no connection.
And you want that connection to one of the best-selling games now.
Yeah, and especially now that Skyrim is such a big hit. I mean, my FPS and Madden playing cousin fucking loves Skyrim. Yeah, like, this game is not going to appeal to him.
It's not going to appeal to anybody. These games are done. MMOs are over. They're over and done.
I agree.
Like, it's like, I don't know, I don't want to talk. That's a spoiler from a movie that just came out. We just skip over that.
Okay.
Yeah, they just need to stop. Like, this is going to be it, right? After this one?
Especially if this crashes and burns.
Yeah, was
between this and what happened with 38 Studios.
Yeah, Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, I hope people learn their lesson. 38
Studios blew up magnificently and is like a billboard yelling, "Do not do this ever." And this, which is the one big video game property that might be able to pull this off, isn't. There's no way this is going to work. We're done, right? Can we just be done until Blizzard does something, or you have to do something completely different? Just at least no more fantasy or even like sci-fi MMOs. Like, do something with all like no more RPG elements. Like, make a first-person shooter work, a driving game work, something like Watch Dogs, if Watch Dogs turns out to be an MMO. Like, just you have to go completely different. But these kinds of games have to be done, I think, probably.
Well, like I said, I mean, I go back to what I was saying about Diablo 3 earlier. I've learned that I don't need massive multiplayer. It's like when MAG came out. I was like, oh, it's 128 players. No one cared. Bigger is not better.
Yeah.
I mostly play these games by myself anyway. I'd rather have a game that works like the systems in Diablo than, I mean, in Diablo 3, other people are a great exploitable commodity. If I need an item, I go to the auction house. If I need help, I call in my friends. In World of Warcraft, they're in my way. I need to kill this boss, like this elite mob as part of a quest, but there's five other people there camping him, and as soon as he respawns, we all attack at the same time. They're in my way.
Yeah,
I don't want those people there. They're in the way of my gameplay. I'm playing on a PvP server and getting ganked. I don't really want that, but I'm on this PvP server because my friends are on that server.
Sounds terrible. Yep.
Yep.
Just be done. Please be done.
Agreed.
It's too bad it's not like Civilization 4, where you're building a monument and all of a sudden someone else finishes it and you can't make that monument anymore, but you can take all that production and put it towards one, like something else new, and it all just applies magically.
Yeah.
Like, that's why they can't, because it they can't do anything with all that money. They're like, well, we got to get something back on this. But no, just cancel it. Like,
no, you don't.
Just do something different, please.
Yeah, yeah. Do us all a favor. Well, let's see. Let's talk about something happy. Epic Mickey. So first I was watching a segment on Game Trailers where, like, Jeff Keighley is interviewing Warren Spector. And one of the things that has me completely jazzed for this game is the fact that it is finally voiced. And, like, during the cutscene, they're talking over it. And I'm like, assholes, shut up. I want to hear Mickey and Oswald talk to each other. And then they even said, like, oh, yeah, we're talking over it now. Well, that's why we put on subtitles, because it's really loud at E3. Yeah, I mean, too bad you can't hear it behind. It's like, shut the fuck up. I'm trying to listen to this. I'm not listening to you guys talk right now. But they showed, and let me get into my Disney nerdom a bit here.
Please.
The boss they showed, it was Elliot from Peach Dragon, but it wasn't Elliot himself. Anyone else might say, oh, it's an animatronic, but no. It is the Elliot the Dragon float from the now-defunct Main Street Electrical Parade, which is amazing. I think that is so cool.
I'm going to trust you on it. It sounds like a really nerdy thing that would be great for people who love that stuff. That's what it sounds. Yeah, sounds amazing.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm glad there's voice acting. I hope the music that they're talking about is good. Frankly, I'll probably be getting it on the PS3 because it'll be high def and I can still use a Move controller, because I think that'll be easier to play with than trying to aim with an analog stick. But I'm excited. I hope it's good.
It'll be fun to figure out which one's the ideal method for playing that game once it comes
out. Well, I mean, the PS3 is going to have the best of both worlds. It's going to be high def, like, yeah. And it's going to have the motion controller if you want it. We got to see some of the 3DS one, too. I think Mike's supposed to play it tomorrow. I'm excited for that.
I'm excited to hear about that one, too. I love the Illusion game for Genesis or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed. When they announced that game, I was like, oh, please be on Virtual Console. It's not. I'll have to download it somewhere at some point.
It's impossible to get the rights. Like, it's going to be expensive.
Yeah. Oh, well. The final thing I want to talk about real quick. This happened just before we recorded tonight. Oh, I see you wrote nerd. Aren't you cute? Have you seen what this is, though?
No idea. Explain.
Okay. So World of Warcraft Mists of Pandaria, which is in beta now, is going to have a pet battle system. It's basically Pokemon. And it's not in the beta yet. I'm waiting for it to go in so I can try it. But someone found the files in the beta package for the music that's going to play in the pet battles. What they did, they took music from the first two Warcraft games, the RTSs from the 90s, and they remixed them. They basically sound like they were songs in a Super NES game.
Whoa, cool.
It's freaking cool.
That's
it's
neat.
So cool. Because I know, I still, like, I was trying to think if I knew that music, and, like, this YouTube video that had this up. Like, he played the original and then, like, the new versions. And, like, I'm listening to the originals. I was like, oh, yes, I do remember this. I know this song. I'm going to hum along right now. And then this new version started playing. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. I need this in my life.
It sounds really neat.
Yeah, it's a great idea. And, sis, is there anything else E3 related that we've seen so far that you would like to discuss?
No, I don't think so. We hit pretty much everything.
We've been recording for almost 2 hours, so I hope so.
Hopefully the show floor will come up with something like really amazing. I do want to say, I don't want to sound like I was like hating on everything, because it is kind of a knee-jerk, stupid fanboy reaction to be like, oh, there was no big surprise, my life is miserable. There were a lot of good games.
I hate to be the one to tell people this. It's really fucking hard to make something a surprise anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, Gears of War Judgment could have been a surprise, but you had to put it in Game Informer, and they announced it first.
Yep.
I mean, honestly, the only games we didn't know about, Watch Dog. I mean, you could say Beyond, but we knew Quantic Dream was making something. Mm-hmm. And it's not like it. I mean, basically, for them, it's just like, what's their next story idea? So that could have been anything. I mean, what was a surprise? We knew God of War was coming. We knew PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale was happening. There's been rumblings of a Vita Assassin's Creed for a while. Like, nothing was really a surprise.
Yep.
That's fine.
And these these games like Assassin's Creed 3 are going to be amazing. And, yeah, so there's no reason to, like, kind of flip out. And we are in a transition period. Things are going to get better, and the PC's looking better than ever. So, yeah. I'm sure something will pop up from the floor that's just going to be, like, the sleeper hit of the show.
Now, usually there's always something that happens on Thursday. Yeah. It's like someone discovers something or something kind of makes a late announcement, and that's always usually the fun part.
Yes.
Now the press conferences are becoming less and less the place for surprises.
Exactly.
As this gets more mainstream, it's just going to be the case. I'm sorry, we all have to deal with that. All right, so let's do a quick what you've been playing here segment. Oh, excuse me, our week in gaming, because this isn't one up yours. you played anything you want to talk about of late?
I've been playing right nonstop all day with VentureBeat, but that's about it. I don't know, I played some Skyrim and I played some Trials, but no one wants to hear about that. I'm insane about Trials.
Okay.
Can't stop playing it.
So my question to you is, when are you going to get Diablo 3? Because everyone needs to play Diablo 3, damn it. I need more friends playing this game.
I don't know. It's not my type of game. Like, I feel...
Oh,
like,
yes it is.
I'm sure I would get addicted to it for quite a long time, and I would enjoy it. But I don't know. The progression thing, like... It just seems like such a smoke and mirrors show to me. Like, that is why I'm like, oh, screw everyone. I'm just going to go play more Trials, because it's this challenging skill-based thing where, and I'm good at it, so obviously I'm going to enjoy it. And where I'm like, I'm going to go play Diablo. I don't know where the skill is in Diablo. I'm sure there's stuff in there. I'm sure
it's there.
I'm sure it's there.
Like
it's just not obvious to me.
People like to try to boil down the game by saying, oh, you're just clicking on stuff and it's dying. Well, that's what we do in any game.
Well,
I mean, you
could be reductive. Yeah, you're right.
That's,
well, yeah, but
yeah, you know,
it is a little bit more than that, because it is just the one button, right? I mean, I know you press shift to stop and stuff.
Well, no, I mean, there's six buttons, you see, because you have six skills at any time.
That's a good point,
yeah. Map to left, right mouse button, 1 through 4. I mean, it's really most equated to a deck building game. You know, you're building your deck. Did you make a good deck? If you did, you're going
to
have an easier time. If your
skills
aren't working together well, then you're going to have a harder time. Like, I came up with a build I was using. Oh, I beat it again as a monk, so I've now beaten it twice. But I came up with a build for my monk that when I got to Diablo, I just owned him because I had stuff up so he couldn't hit me. When he did hit me, it did reduce damage. Just standing next to him caused me to do damage to him. I was striking him so fast that, like, I never lost my arcane energy, or no, spirit, rather, because, like, each hit regenerated it, and I was, like I had, like, attack speed modifiers and everything. And, like, that was super satisfying. You know, like, yes, I found the six skills that let me just absolutely trash this guy. It was great.
I do like the comparison to a deck building game, because I love a good deck building game. So why wouldn't I?
I mean, the Guild Wars did that basically. So good on them to pick that up on that.
I believe everyone when they say it's great. It's just not readily apparent to me why it's so great. So I'll play it. There's like a starter version, right? I'll just give that a try.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, but so I would like to point out to the world, to all who would make note in the public record, that while my brother and my friend Kip argue to this day over who beat Diablo 2 first, and I do think it was Mike, not only did I beat Diablo 3 first, I beat it twice before Mike beat it once. Let's just
so
put
no
that
argument
on the public record.
Now, I'm glad he's not here.
We'll always have this. Yeah. Oh, he can't argue with me. It's fact. Now, he'll try to say, oh, it's because I was busy reviewing a game, so I couldn't devote time to it.
Well, he's gonna
whatever.
Say, he's going to come back to you. He's
whatever.
Like, I beat it in a quicker amount of time, in less hours. It took me less time to get to the end. So look out.
Doesn't matter.
Look out for that lawyer.
Twice, and he had a weak head start on me. I was gone. So, ha. Huh. Now, the game he was reviewing, and you can go read his review on VentureBeat.com/games, is Gravity Rush.
This sounds great.
I've been playing his copy of Gravity Rush. Oh my god, Gravity Rush is amazing. If Sony had half a brain, they would have... I mean, it comes out next week. They should have showed this at their fucking press briefing. Been like, look, this game comes out in 7 days, and it's awesome. Let us show you why. Because I feel like they haven't done anything to promote this game.
Right, yeah. What is it?
Okay, it is an open world, basically superhero game. in the vein of Crackdown, you play as this girl named Kat who has the ability to shift gravity. The way it works is whenever you're moving around, you hit the right trigger. You kind of float in place. You aim where you want to go, and you can even use the gyroscope to fine-tune aim like you could in Uncharted, and I think that works really well. You hit the R button again, and for you and only you, gravity shifts in that direction. It's basically you can fly. You just aim where you want to go. You take off in that direction. You can manipulate your aim as you're going through the air, and then when you hit a surface, that way is down. What the game does that's really smart is if you're walking on a wall, her hair and her scarf are still affected by normal gravity. So you can always see, in a very subtle and effective way, which way is actually down, so you don't get disoriented. Then the way the combat in the game works, I mean, you have your basic kick combos when you're on the ground. You can, they've mapped a counter roll to the touchscreen and a swipe. So it's almost like you have two analog sticks in the right. One controls the camera, and then just by flicking on the screen, very simply, you can control which direction you do your dodge roll. It works really well. But when you're floating there, doing your kind of gravity float, if you hit kick from there, you use the momentum of your new gravity as a kick. The further away you are, the more damage you do. And there was one boss fight where you're basically chasing this demon creature around the city, and you're flying around the air, and you're trying to do these, like, gravity kicks into it from, you know, 100 feet up, and you're navigating around buildings and running on rooftops, chasing this thing. It was so freaking exciting. And I felt completely in control of it. Everything I was doing looked cool. Like, it was mind-blowing. I couldn't believe how good this game is. Like, no one seems to know about it. And it's on the Vita. I mean, this game, honestly, is reason enough to go buy a Vita.
Yeah, it sounds like knowing that you can get Vita. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, between the fact that if you went and bought a Vita in this game, and then knowing after you're done with it, you can get Uncharted, you can get Wipeout, you can get Mortal Kombat. Creed, like, yeah. Those games are not reasons to buy a Vita. They're reasons to have a Vita. This game's the reason to buy the Vita. It's that good. There's another really cool mechanic where it's called a gravity slide. You put both thumbs on the corners of the touchscreen, and she just starts sliding forward. You tilt to steer. If you lift one thumb, you drift. And if you shake the system, you jump. It works amazingly well. And honestly, it would not be possible to do it as well on a controller. It takes complete advantage of the Vita. Nothing is gimmicky. It looks, you know, like everyone say, like, oh, it looks good for a Wii game. It looks good for a 3DS game. It just looks good. It's a cel-shaded style. The distant objects just become thick outlines. They look great. The music's amazing. The story's actually really good. I mean, I can't believe how good this game is, and no one's going to play it because it's on the Vita. It's a damn shame, but it's excellent. It's really excellent. I can't say enough good things about it. I'm just so thrilled by it. It's exciting to play.
The second and Sony announces a price cut on that damn thing, I'll go get it, and then I'll get this game.
There you go. I mean, you know me. I'm all about fun ways of moving around in the games. I like locomotion. That's why I like Uncharted, Assassin's Creed. I mean, this game has it in spades. Just going around the city in this game, it's like Crackdown. There's orbs you collect to level up your skills. Just going around finding orbs is so much fun. It's great. If you have a Vita and you don't get this game next week, you're doing it wrong. Trust me. Just sight unseen, I'm giving you the edge guy guarantee. This doesn't mean I give you your money back if you don't like anything, but
just give them
I promise.
Up
I'll feel really bad if you didn't like it. Just go get this game next week if you have a Vita, please. Trust me on this. It's excellent. All right, so as far as releases go, basically Rayman Origins is coming out for the 3DS and some Virtua Fighter 5 thing. That's pretty much it. It's E3. I think everyone learned their lesson after Infamous 2 came out last year and just completely bombed.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Sims 3 Katy Perry's Sweet Treats is out too, so.
I'm sure it's terrible. Yep, it doesn't make any sense. I don't even like games are coming out in like a month when E3 is around because it's just like, that's so old. I'm like, it hasn't even come out yet, but. You know, E3 just gives you that fresh mintiness.
Yeah.
It's hard to ignore.
All right. Well, my mouth is completely dry.
Yep.
Let's wrap it up. Jeff, where can the good people find you on the interwebs?
GamesBeat. So like you said, VentureBeat.com/games. Writing there every weekend, some stuff during the week. Get me on Twitter, Jeff Grubb, one word, two B's at the end. And yeah, that's about it. If you get me on Twitter, you get everything because I tweet a lot and I tweet about where I am. Right. So just get me there.
And to what he said, if you want to see what Mike is up to while he's gone this week, please go check out his stuff also on GamesBeat. He's tweeting them. I've been retweeting them.
He's
actually at E3, so he's getting some good stuff.
Yeah, and he's already posted some good stuff. He did post about PlayStation All-Star Battle Royale, and it was good read. It was informative. Mm.
Yeah, and you can go check out his review of Gravity Rush, too, because it was good. And, yeah, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, where you could find us at ebpodcast.com on the iTunes Music Store. Facebook.com/Exploding Barrel and Twitter at Exploding Barrel. I'll plug it one more time because I just want people to listen to it. I was on the Cerebral Pops Shuffled podcast a couple weeks ago with Matt Jaguar talking about Disney music. He did a phenomenal job editing it. It's a great listen, even just to hear the music as part of the episode, so go check that out. And we'll be back next week once Mike gets home. We'll have all kind of E3 from the show impressions from him. We'll find out what the hell Nintendo's doing tomorrow with the 3DS. And yes. So again, thanks for listening, everyone. Jeff, thanks for joining
me
tonight.
Thanks for having me, man.
You betcha. And we'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Goodbye. Oh my God. Why is this taking forever?